Chapter 25. Erica. Present. I dropped my head back, letting the tip of my blade fall to the ground as I tried to catch my breath. I hated fencing alone. I hated being stuck alone. It had been 5 days since I drove back from Thunder Bay, Michael and the guys following close behind, and if I wasn't in class, then I was in my apartment, per Michael's orders. And if I strayed to the bookstore or the grocery store, he'd be calling or texting, wondering where I was. I think he had Mr. Patterson and Richard alerting him when I didn't walk in the front door at a certain time every day, and I was about done with it. Alex had invited me for coffee with her friends tomorrow, and I was going to go. Now that I knew my mother was safe and actually sounding hopeful and more energetic, judging from the sound of her voice on the phone, I wanted to keep moving forward. My accounts were back to normal, and several contractors were assessing our house in Thunder Bay, getting ready to make bids on the restoration. Whatever Michael and his friends were planning for Trevor and Damon, I didn't care. I didn't want any part of it. "Sick puppies, you're going down," played off my laptop in the kitchen, and I stood at the island, chugging a bottle of water, the light layer of sweat on my back cooling my skin. I'd spent 20 minutes in front of a floor-length mirror, checking my footwork and parrying with a tennis ball before finishing with 30 minutes of sequences. Fencing wasn't something I competed at, but it was something I endeavored to perfect. My father had wanted me to study it, and even though I could have quit at any time, I refused. It would have been closing a door, leaving him behind in a way. I just wished I had someone to practice with, a club or a program at a gym or something. It was dull training on my own, which was why I'd barely done any workout since moving to Meridian City. My phone started ringing, and I set down my water bottle, staring at Michael's name on the screen. Hitting ignore, I turned off my phone and pushed it away. Every time he called or texted, it was demands, orders, and updates about where I was, what I was doing, and if I'd talked to anyone today. He never asked me how I was or said anything nice, until he finally showed up, late and worked up from his basketball practice, wanting in my bed. He'd walk in, lock the door, and start stripping off my clothes, and everything I told myself to strengthen my resolve when he wasn't here went out the fucking window. I'd wrap my legs around his waist and let him carry me to my room. He was winning, and here I was again, playing his game. I made my way for the refrigerator to get another bottle of water, but 3 quick knocks hit the front door, and I halted, the hair on the back of my neck standing up. It's okay. If it were Damon or Trevor, the door was locked, and no one could get in. Walking slowly for the door, I tightened my fist around the handle of my foil and leaned in, peering through the peephole. Nothing but black. The lapels of his jacket, a shirt, and then there was a sliver of smooth, tanned neck. I couldn't see his face, 6'4" as he was, but I'd know Michael anywhere. "Who is it?" I asked playfully.
"Who do you think?" he snapped. "Open the damn door."
I shook my head, laughing to myself. Any opportunity to aggravate him was a small victory. Opening the door a few inches, I stood there, fixing him with a defiant stare. "A little early, aren't you?" I challenged. "You usually like your ass around 10. He hooded his eyes, not the least bit amused.
"Let me in."
But I shook my head, keeping him at bay. "No, I don't think so. I'm not interested tonight."
"Not interested?" he scowled. "What the hell does that mean?"
"It means you can't keep me locked up to be at your service whenever you're in the mood." He narrowed his eyes.
"Is that what you think I'm doing?"
He pushed open the door and walked in, forcing me to back away.
"You think I'm hiding you?"
He took another step toward me, but I immediately raised my pathetic sword between us, stopping him. Its flat tip pressed into his torso, while the hilt nearly pressed into mine, keeping 43 inches between us. He let out a bitter laugh, looking down at my weapon.
"My games are more fun."
But I wasn't playing. "You took Alex out," I reminded him. My first night at Delcor, she was in a dress, you were in a suit, and you both had just gotten back here from wherever you were at. You haven't taken me anywhere. He swiped the sword away and walked into me, backing me up against a wall. Leaning his hand above my head, he dipped down, holding my eyes.
"So what do you want?"
he sneered.
"Flowers? A nice polite dinner and a pretty dress, and a nice polite fuck in a hotel room? Then I'll see you to your door at the end of the night? Come on, Rika. You're disappointing me." "That isn't us."
"Us?" I argued. "There is no us. You have no idea what makes me happy, and you don't care."
"Really?"
He nodded with a sarcastic lift to his eyebrows.
"So sneaking into Hunter Bailey for their open bouting event tonight wouldn't make you happy? Because that's what I was coming to get you for."
My eyes rounded, and my mouth fell open.
"But if you'd rather dinner and a movie, hey?"
He shrugged.
"I can go buy some boring fucking flowers, too."
I broke out a wide smile, squealing as I jumped up and wrapped my arms around him. He tried to stay stiff and aggravated, but I could see the smile trying to break out. "You suck," I teased.
"So do you," he retorted,
wrapping his arms around my waist.
"Don't tell me how to treat you, okay? I know exactly what you like."
And then he pulled away, giving me a light slap on the ass.
"Now go shower and change. You stink."
I couldn't stop grinning as I spun around and dashed into the bathroom.
"Stand up straight," Michael scolded, tossing his keys to the valet.
I followed him to Hunter Bailey's stairs, immediately squaring my shoulders and clutching my forest green duffel bag over my shoulder. "Are you sure this is going to be okay?" I asked, facing him. He reached behind my head and grabbed the black hood of the oversized sweatshirt he'd put on me, pulling it over my hair.
"Who's going to stop us?" he shot back.
I twisted my lips to the side as he tucked my long hair inside the hood. "Who's going to stop us? Would I ever learn to retort with that when I had doubts? No, because I was a worrier." "Well, what if they find out I'm a woman?" I pressed, my skin tingling as his hands grazed my face.
"Then smile and own it," he replied. "The only way we find out what we're capable of is by getting into a little trouble."
I cocked an eyebrow. "Sometimes getting into trouble can get you into a lot of trouble. Just ask Kai and Will." He looked at me like I was an idiot.
"Are you planning to beat up any cops or sleep with underage girls?"
I rolled my eyes.
"Come on."
He took my hand, pulling me up the stairs. Opening the door, he entered, letting me follow, and I kept my head down, hearing glasses clink and boisterous laughter coming from the dining room. The pungent scent of cigars drifted out, assaulting my nostrils, so I inhaled short, shallow breaths. Michael laid a hand on my back, guiding me toward the stairs.
"Mr. Christ?"
A male voice called, and we stopped. My heart jumped in my chest, but I didn't turn around.
"Policy requires that everyone check in, sir,"
the man said. It must have been one of the attendants.
"This is William Grayson III,"
Michael answered, his voice calm and confident. I could feel the man's eyes on my back. After a few moments, he cleared his throat and answered,
"Of course, sir."
Relief swept over me, but I knew he knew. How could he not? If he knew Will at all, he would know I was several inches shorter and 80 pounds of muscle too small. But he wouldn't challenge a member. If Michael said I was Will, then I was Will.
"Come on,"
Michael nudged my back, sending me up the staircase. I tightened my grasp on my bag and jogged up the stairs, hearing footfalls above me and chatter coming from the rooms we passed as he led me down the hall.
"Follow close," he told me over his shoulder. "Don't look up."
I kept my eyes down and my head bowed, simply watching the back of his shoes as I shadowed him down the hallway. We walked through a door and across another room. It was the gym. I could tell by the glossed wooden floors, the sound of speed bags being hit, and the squeak of tennis shoes. Following Michael's order, I didn't look up.
simply walking as quickly as possible to the locker room door as he opened it, rushing me in. He led me past the steam room, the sauna, and the spas, their water vapor winding up out of the pools like a witch's brew, and led me past the lockers and the few male voices I could hear lurking about in the vast room. Curving to the right, we stepped into a row of frosted glass doors. Michael grabbed the handle of one and pushed me inside, stepping behind me and closing the door. Looking up, I spun around, seeing that it was a shower. The rainfall head sat directly above me on the ceiling, and a built-in soap dish on the wall held three large bottles with pumps, shampoo, conditioner, and body wash. Michael took my bag and opened it, pulling out my pants, jacket, gloves, socks, and shoes. Tossing the bag down, he dropped to a knee and started unfastening my pants. I laughed under my breath, grabbing at his hands. "I can do it," I protested.
"But I want to,"
he said, sounding playful and making my heart flutter. I heaved a sigh and stood up straight, letting him take off my shoes and socks before pulling down my jeans and slipping them over my feet. I stripped off my sweatshirt and t-shirt together, dropping them to the floor. I crossed my arms over my chest, waiting for him to get out my white fencing pants and dress me, but instead, his eyes locked on mine as he slid his fingertips up my legs. His lips quirked, and heat spread into his hazel eyes. Curling his fingers under the hem of my panties, he pulled them down my legs, and I simply watched, trying to stay calm despite the butterflies in my belly. I loved it when he watched me. His rudeness and coarse attitude made the rare times he was soft so captivating that I wanted to slap myself. He was a sadist, and my little heart just had to go pitter-patter the second his yanks, grabs, and pulls turned into gentle caresses, and his frowns, scowls, and snarls turned into whispers. I fell, and I never even tried to stop myself. Lust and logic sat on my shoulders like the modern-day angel and devil, one telling me to trust my heart, and the other telling me that I would never be able to trust his. Michael slid his hands up my thighs, and I stood there, completely naked for him, as his hot eyes drank me in, and his fingers kneaded my skin. "Don't even think about it," I scolded. "I want to fence." He broke out in a smile, knowing he was caught.
"You're so beautiful," he said,
sliding his hands up my ass and holding my hips as he looked up at me. I couldn't believe it. Michael Crist was on his knees, telling me I was beautiful. I pushed his hands, heaving a sigh. "Just get me dressed." I wasn't sure why he wanted me completely naked, no bra or panties, but arguing would tell him I was nervous, and screw that. If he wanted me naked under my gear, it wasn't anything I couldn't handle. He helped me get into my socks and then my pants. I slipped into my jacket that zipped up the front and then twisted my hair into a bun on the top of my head and wrapped a rubber band around it, securing it before sliding on my white gloves. We got my shoes and mask on, making sure any stray hairs were tucked in.
"Let's go."
Michael stood up and turned for the door, grabbing my hand. But I yanked it out, smiling even though he couldn't see my face under the mask. "Do you normally hold Will's hand?" He paused, as if realizing what he'd done.
"Good point."
He opened the shower door. I followed him out, past the lockers, spas, and steam room, and sauna again. Just as we were heading for the door leading back into the gym, Kai walked through, entering the locker room with a bag over his shoulder.
"Hey, what are you doing?"
he asked, stopping in front of Michael. Michael shook his head, blowing him off, but then Kai's eyes flashed to me and instantly narrowed. Without hesitation, he reached out and lifted the mask up, seeing my lips twist to hide my smile.
"Nice," he laughed, dropping my mask back down. "Well, this should be fun."
Shaking his head in amusement, he walked around us into the locker room, and Michael stepped forward, opening the door to the gym. Leading me through the maze of treadmills, weight machines, and the large boxing ring and supply of punching bags, he entered another room, a little darker, with a large wooden floor and a few fencers already sparring and lunging. Cushioned brown leather chairs sat around the floor, while some men enjoyed the bouting while drinking and talking. Michael led me to the wall where a plethora of épées, foils, and sabers were displayed and gestured for me to choose one. Glancing back at the men on the floor, I noticed most were using foils. My heart started racing, hearing the clang of swords in the background, and I reached out, taking a foil with a pistol grip.
"Hey, are you up for sparring?"
a man's voice said at my back, and I whipped around, my heart jumping into my throat. I looked to Michael, but he just smirked and leaned in.
"Have fun,"
he whispered in my ear, and walked off. "What?" I straightened, suddenly nervous and feeling alone.
"Collins,"
the guy said, holding out his hand. He had light red hair, balding on top, with a shiny pale face. He offered a wide, close-lipped smile, and I noticed he had a mask secured under one arm and a foil in his hand. I stammered and then shot out my hand.
"I'm Eric."
And then I lowered my voice, repeating for extra measure,
"Eric."
He grabbed my hand, damn near pulling it out of its socket as he shook it.
"Well, come on, kid,"
he urged, turning around and putting on his mask. Kid? I wasn't sure if it was my voice or my smaller frame, but at least he didn't think I was a girl. We stepped onto the sparring floor, and I glanced around, finding Michael sitting in a chair at a table to my right. A waiter brought a drink, and he looked up at me as he took a sip. The rough threads of my fencing suit rubbed against my skin, and I started breathing harder, feeling the seam in the pants graze my clit. I held back a groan, a drop of sweat gliding down my back.
"I don't think I know you, do I?"
the guy, Collins, asked. I whipped my head back around, assuming the on-guard position.
"Are we going to fence or what?"
I bit out, holding up my foil. He chuckled and got into position as well.
"Okay."
I immediately advanced, using the footwork I'd been taught and had practiced for years as I challenged him, taking the offense. I parried, moving my foil in small circles and forcing him to defend as I pushed further and further. His arms were longer as well as his legs, so I moved fast, trying to be bold, trying to be the little dog with a big bark. I circled and played. And just when I thought he was caught up with trying to keep up, I lunged and darted out my sword, sticking it into his chest.
"Whoa!" he exclaimed. "Nice!"
The thin blade bent, and I pulled back, breathing out, "Thanks." I backed up, setting us in position again, and continued to advance or retreat as we bouted, him getting more comfortable and more aggressive. He continued to challenge me, and I retreated, backing up as he advanced. But then I surprised him when I shot out and scored, stabbing him in the stomach.
"Damn it,"
he growled. And I stood up tall, tense that I might have pissed him off. He pulled off his mask, his hair wet with sweat as he laughed, and I relaxed.
"Nice job, kid,"
he granted, breathing hard.
"Now I need a drink."
I nodded, smiling as I let him walk off the floor. My mouth was also parched, but I wasn't ready to take off my mask to get a drink yet. I turned my head right, realizing I'd forgotten Michael was even watching. He swirled his amber drink as he stared at me with heat in his eyes, and I couldn't get my breathing to calm down. At that moment, every inch of my skin was aware of him. I was damp with sweat, and the clothes stuck to my body. Every little hair was sensitive, and I wanted his mouth everywhere.
"Care for a match?"
a man asked. I twisted my head, seeing another guy with tousled black hair and dark eyes. I nodded, not saying anything. Positioning my feet, careful of the other fencers around us, I began sparring with him, but I was no longer thinking about fencing. Michael, always on my mind, always inside of me. I could feel his eyes on me now, and all I wanted was to strip out of these clothes and feel his skin on mine. Forever. What was I going to do?
Hey, ease up,
the guy demanded. I'm trying to enjoy myself here.
I slowed my advance, breathing hard. Sorry. I scored 2 times and he once, but I could barely concentrate anymore. Michael was watching, and now, instead of sparring and scoring, I wanted something else. The sweat on my bare skin under the clothes made the fabric chafe, and the threads rubbing my clit made me wet. I could feel my pulse between my legs throbbing, and I turned my head quickly to see Michael's jaw flex and his chest rising and falling faster. The corner of his mouth lifted smugly, and he knew I was getting worked up. But then I grunted, feeling the flat tip of a sword digging into my stomach. Ugh, I growled, backing away. Damn it! The guy laughed at me, and I scowled at Michael, seeing him smile to himself. My skin was so hot, and frustration nipped at every nerve on my body. The suit and mask felt like a pile of blankets on top of me, weighing me down so much that I was suffocating, and I wanted to rip everything off just to breathe. I clenched my fists, seeing the challenge in Michael's eyes. Oh no, it's my way this time. Good match, I ground out to the guy, and then I walked away, leaving the floor.
Hey!
I heard the guy exclaim, but I didn't turn around. Tossing my sword at Michael, I saw him catch it before passing his table and walking out of the room, knowing he'd follow. I made my way through the gym and into the locker room, turning my head and seeing him come up behind me with fire in his eyes. He didn't have the sword, so he must have left it at the table. Twisting back around, I headed for the showers again, knowing we'd have privacy in the separate stalls, but he grabbed me by the hips, stopping me instead. Swinging open the door to the steam room, he forced me inside, and I glanced around quickly, making sure it was empty. Steam hung in the air of the huge beige-tiled room, several areas difficult to see with all the water in the air. The rectangular area was scaffolded like a movie theater with 4 levels of seating and plenty of room to lie out. But it was empty. The door didn't lock, but we were alone for the moment. I spun around and grabbed the bottom of my mask, tearing it off my head and letting it fall to the floor. Games, 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 I scolded, unzipping my jacket. You're driving me crazy. He grabbed me, pulling the white fencing jacket down my arms and coming down on my lips hard. The jacket fell to the floor, and I gripped his shoulders as he pulled me up and into him, covering my mouth with his taste and heat. His tongue slid in, flicking mine as he moved strong and powerful, devouring me.
I like you crazy,
he gasped, pulling back an inch,
and I like you wet. How are you feeling down here?
He pushed his hand down the front of my pants, having no problem finding how slick I was.
Yeah, these pants rubbed against you good, huh? I knew they would.
I shot back up, meeting him full force as we continued to kiss, bite, and play. I worked the rubber band out of my hair, finally freeing it and letting the long tendrils fall down my back. His needy hands covered my skin, damp with sweat, and then slid down my pants, cupping my ass and pulling me into him. The thick ridge of his cock nudged my clit, and I groaned. It felt so good. Somebody could come in, I whispered against his neck as I pushed his black jacket down his arms. We should go to the shower.
No,
he growled low, ripping open his shirt, the buttons flying.
I want to see you sweat.
I glanced nervously at the frosted door, knowing someone could enter at any second, but my pussy was throbbing. My nipples were so hard from brushing against his clothes, and I didn't care about anything except having him inside me. Within seconds, my pants, shoes, and socks were gone, and Michael had shed his shirt before picking me up and wrapping my legs around him. He stood there, in the center of the room, gripping my ass and kissing my neck, my jaw, and then my lips. I could feel my hair sticking to my back, and the air in the room grew thick, every inch of my skin coming alive as I tilted my head back.
Rika, he whispered against my neck, I need you. I need you every day, every hour, every minute.
I brought my head back up, hugging him close and wishing time would stand still. He was everything. My entire life, I only felt completely alive when he was close, and while I knew nothing would ever be easy with him, I also knew nothing would ever be good without him either. Dipping my head into his neck and closing my eyes, I whispered, "I love you, Michael." He remained still, his hold on me not changing, but it felt like he'd stopped breathing. Tears sprang to my eyes when he didn't say anything, and I held him tight. "Please don't push me away." I wasn't sorry I'd said it. I'd owned it, and there was no other choice. But I couldn't face his silence, or the truth that what was in his heart might not be what was in mine. But I wasn't sorry.
"Rika," he said, sounding like he was searching for words.
But I shook my head, dropping my legs and forcing him to let me down. "Don't say anything," I told him, not meeting his eyes. "I don't expect you to." His hands stayed on my hips, and I knew he was staring at me.
"Tell her you love her," a deep voice echoed. "Jesus Christ."
I shot my head up, Michael doing the same as we scanned the billows of steam and finally made out a pair of legs on the top level, swinging over the edge as he sat up.
"Is it that fucking hard?"
Kai set his feet on the tile of the next level and leaned down on his elbows, staring at Michael.
"You're so tortured. Had it real tough, haven't you, Michael?"
I sucked in a breath and dived down, picking up Michael's black shirt and covering myself. Oh my God, he'd been here the whole time? What the hell?
"A beautiful girl looks at you like you're God her entire life," Kai continued,
shifting something small and red from one hand to the other, over and over again.
"And you're never going to get anything better, because there is nothing better, and you still can't say it? Do you know how lucky you are?"
Michael stood silent, his eyes narrowed on Kai. He wasn't going to argue with him. He never would. Giving Kai's accusation any attention would give it credibility. Kai dropped his eyes, still spilling the small red items from hand to hand and looking solemn.
"Do you know how lucky you are? Had it real tough, haven't you?"
"What are those?" I asked, tightening the shirt around my chest.
"Shells," he answered.
"Shells?" I peered more closely at them, seeing the gold ends and tattered heads, scrappy and blown out. Shells. Shotgun shells. And they'd been fired. My heart started thumping.
"Why do you have them?"
Michael demanded, but Kai just shrugged.
"Doesn't matter."
"Why do you have them?" I demanded, stepping in. I knew Kai was struggling, but why the hell did he have shotgun shells?
"They're from the last time my grandfather took me shooting clay pigeons," he explained,
no emotion in his voice.
"I was 13. It was the last time I remember being a kid."
He stood up and walked down the levels, a white towel wrapped around his waist and his black hair slicked back.
"Sorry I didn't make myself known sooner," he said, approaching us. "I guess I..."
He trailed off, as if thinking better of what he was about to say. "You guess you what?" I asked. He shot a glance at Michael before averting his eyes, admitting,
"I guess I wanted to see if it would turn me on."
Heat spread up my face, and I remembered what he'd said about not touching a woman in 3 years. Had it really been that long? He moved to walk around us, but I instantly stepped in front of him, not sure why. He was so fucking lost and guarded, and if he was going to talk, I didn't want him to stop until he felt good again. "Did it?" I asked, barely audible. "Did it turn you on?" His eyes shifted, and I saw him swallow like he wasn't sure what to say. Maybe he was afraid of Michael. Maybe he was afraid of me. I didn't know why I did it, but I slipped off Michael's shirt and let it fall to the floor, feeling Michael tense next to me. Kai kept his head level, but his eyes were on the floor, staring at the shirt. Every hair on my neck stood up, and I worried about what Michael would say or do, or if he'd hate me. But something made me push forward. I inched closer to Kai, the steam sitting like a cloth on my skin as he refused to look up. "Why won't you look at me?" I asked softly. He breathed out a small laugh, looking nervous.
because you're the first woman I've said shit to since I got out, and I'm afraid.
His chest rose and fell faster.
I'm afraid I'll want to touch you.
I turned my head slowly, looking at Michael. Droplets sat on his chest, and his piercing eyes watched me, as if waiting for what I was going to do next. I faced Kai again, trying to catch his eyes. Look at me. But he just shook his head and tried to veer around me.
I should get out of here.
I put a hand up, touching his chest and stopping him. I don't want you to leave. His chest rose and fell under my palm, and his whole body was rigid as he continued to avoid my eyes. I didn't know what I was doing or how far this was going to go, but I knew Michael wouldn't hold me back, and I wasn't so sure I wanted him to.
Why are you doing this?
Kai finally raised his eyes, looking down at me. Because it feels right, I told him. Do you feel comfortable with me? He glanced at Michael, who had inched closer to us, and then turned his eyes back on me.
Yeah.
But he didn't say anything else, and I wondered what he wouldn't talk about. Where was the old Kai? He looked so alone all the time, and tears lodged in my throat, because we'd all been changed forever. Michael had hated, because he couldn't take being helpless. Kai had suffered, because his limits had been pushed, I'd gathered. And I had struggled to find out who I was and where I belonged for so long. We'd all been so alone and so lost, wandering aimlessly, because none of us could admit that not only were we not alone, but we couldn't be happy alone. I needed Michael. Kai needed his friends, and Michael needed... I wasn't sure what he needed, but I knew he felt. He felt a lot, and I wanted that from him, and I wanted Kai to release everything that was holding him back, and I wanted the three of us to vent the pain and frustration, because it had been bottled up inside of us for so damn long. I reached out and wrapped my arms around Kai's neck. Burying my face in his neck, I held back the tears pooling in my eyes as I pressed my body into his and hung on to him like I was the one who needed him. "Touch me," I whispered. "Please." I heard his heavy breathing, and the pulse in his neck throbbed against my lips. His skin smelled like the salt from the spas, and the wet heat of his body melted to mine as he slowly relaxed. He swallowed, and then I felt his hands rest on my hips. He stayed still for a few moments, catching his breath, but then I felt his fingers spread out over my back, his fingertips digging into my skin, growing stronger and more urgent. His touch lowered, his hand running down my ass, and I started to follow suit. My hands came down over his shoulders, gliding down his chest, feeling the smooth skin of his collarbone and the ridges of his abs and slim waist.
"Does this hurt?" he asked.
I brought my head up to look at him, but he wasn't looking at me. He was looking at Michael. I twisted my head, seeing Michael's mouth open a little, taking in quick, shallow breaths.
"Yeah," he said in a low voice,
his eyes meeting mine. "But you like it," I stated, feeling one of Kai's hands trail up my belly between us. "You like the sting. It turns you on." Taking Kai's hand, I hung on to him with one arm around his neck and pressed my forehead to his. As I brought his hand up and put it on my bare breast, he immediately exhaled a hard breath and started slowly kneading the skin, my nipple tightening and tingling under his touch. I closed my eyes, the pleasure seeping into my muscles and making them float. "That feels so good," I told him. And then I opened my eyes, feeling a chest at my back. Michael took hold of my hair, and my head jerked back as he wound the strands around his fist. He then pulled, forcing my neck to bend back and my eyes up to him.
"You're fucking perfect," he said,
and then reached around in front of me, sliding his hand between my legs. His mouth came down on mine. Kai dived into my neck, and I moaned in surprise, the sound getting lost in Michael's throat. Oh my God. My knees nearly buckled, and I couldn't help arching my back, doing everything to meet Michael's mouth, kissing him and feeling the sensation of his tongue, while my breasts pressed into Kai's naked chest. Pleasure, like a cyclone, swept through my belly and down between my legs as he devoured my neck. It was too much, their lips sucking on me, tasting me, greedy and going back for more and more, and their hands groping and taking. I raised one arm, circling Michael's neck behind me, while my other hand clasped the back of Kai's neck in front of me. Michael slid his fingers inside of me, and I could feel how wet I was when he brought them back out. My head might be in a cloud and running on instinct right now, but my body definitely knew what it liked. Michael's tongue dived into my mouth, making me groan as the pulse between my legs got faster and harder. Kai took one of my breasts in his hand and dipped his head down, covering my nipple with his mouth. "Oh, God," I groaned, stilling as Michael continued to flick his tongue over my lips. With the heat of Kai's mouth and the play of Michael's, I was ready to explode. Every muscle in my pussy tightened, and I looked up at Michael, begging, "I need to come." He pawed my ass, kissing and nibbling my lips softly.
"You hear that, Kai?" he asked, but still looked at me. "She wants to come."
I felt Kai's breathy laugh against my skin as he switched from one breast to the other. He darted out his tongue, licking the pebbled flesh before sucking the whole thing into his mouth and dragging it out with his teeth. Then he stood up, pressing his body into my front as Michael locked me in from behind.
"You need to come," he taunted, nibbling my jaw and chin.
And then he went for my ear, whispering a low growl.
"I can handle that, baby. I'm going to lick you so good."
I moaned, my stomach shaking with butterflies. I watched Kai drop to a knee and stare wide-eyed as he whipped off his towel. Jesus, his erection and the size of his cock, full and hard, had my body on fire.
"Open her for me," he told Michael.
Michael reached down, took my leg under the knee and lifted it, spreading it to the side and opening me for Kai. All I could do was dig my nails into his neck behind me and close my eyes as his friend covered my clit with his mouth, sucking it into his mouth hard and making my legs go weak. He was going at me like he was starved, gliding his tongue along, swirling it around my clit, and making me so hot and ready.
"You like my friends sucking on you?"
Michael taunted in my ear, groping my tits with both hands.
"Yeah, I think you fucking love his mouth on your pussy."
I let out a groan, my back arching and my tits jutting out as Kai's tongue slid inside me, moving and licking. I pressed my pussy into him more and more, trying to keep him in that exact spot. Heat filled my womb, my entrance throbbed, and I started moaning and gasping as I rolled my hips, chasing the orgasm that was coming. "Yes, yes," I cried softly. I felt Michael's hand lower to my ass behind me and slip between my legs, rubbing one of his fingers up and down my length. He stopped at the tight entrance, the one Kai wasn't eating out, and I blinked, a moment of alarm settling in. My mouth went dry as he pressed there, and I sucked in a breath as he fit the tip of his finger inside me and just stayed there, not forcing it further.
"Come on,"
Michael urged, leaving soft kisses on my cheek.
"Show me how much you like my friend eating your pussy."
"Yes," I whimpered, feeling my clit hum with need. "Kai, fuck, you feel so good." I rolled my hips, gritting my teeth together as the orgasm got closer and closer. "Come on, come on, come on." "Ah, oh God," I cried out, fisting Kai's hair, grinding and jerking as the orgasm spilled over me, filling me with pleasure that racked through every nerve and over every inch of skin. Michael's finger pumped behind me, but it didn't hurt. Not at all. I ground my ass into him as well, feeling the need build there as both of my entrances filled with longing, lust, and then satisfaction. My heart pumped like crazy, and I relaxed into Michael's chest, feeling weak.
"Kai," he choked out behind me,
and I looked down to see Kai pull back, his eyes closing for a split second, as if he'd enjoyed that just as much as I did. He brought up a hand, easily catching the condom that Michael tossed him.
"I need you,"
Michael breathed out against my hair, sounding desperate. I felt him take off his pants and drop everything to the floor, while Kai stood up and ripped open the condom with his teeth, sliding it on the hard length of his cock. He grabbed my wrist and pulled me into him, picking me up by the backs of my thighs and lifting me up. I wrapped my legs around his waist, holding onto his shoulders as I stared into his dark eyes.
"Thank you, Rika," he said,
sincerity clear in his eyes. And then he kissed my lips as he positioned his cock at my entrance and worked the head in, going nice and slow as he slid inside. I groaned, feeling him enter me as he grabbed my ass, holding me tight on him.
"Do you want me, Rika?"
he asked, our stomachs and chest molding together. "Yeah," I nodded, knowing what he needed to hear. Did I want him? I wanted this. I wanted him and me and Michael and making something good out of the last 3 years. And I wanted him to know he wasn't alone. He was loved, and he had people he could count on. But I wasn't in love with him. My heart was always Michael's. But I was his friend, and I wanted this. Michael came up behind me, and I felt his dick on my back.
"So fucking hot,"
he said as he held my hips and kissed my shoulder.
"Drop one leg for me, but hold on to Kai."
My heart skipped a beat, but I obeyed, knowing he needed me at a certain height to make this work. Keeping one leg around Kai, with him still inside me, I dropped my right leg, lowering a bit. Kai held me tight, the cords of the muscles in his arms flexing as he kept me up. Michael rubbed his cock against my tight entrance, my body already nice and wet from the steam and from Kai. I was so relaxed from my orgasm, and I was too exhausted to be too afraid. I'd never done this before, two guys, or this, but I knew it was going to happen.
"Hurry up," Kai told Michael. "I have to start moving. This feels too good."
Michael's dick pressed into me, and I sucked in a breath, holding it.
"Relax, babe." Michael pawed my behind. "I promise, you're going to love this."
I let out a breath, forcing my muscles to uncurl and remain still as Michael pressed harder and harder. I winced at the burn as he pushed the head through and sucked in a breath. "I don't think..."
"Shh,"
Michael soothed in my ear as he reached around to play with my clit.
"Your ass is so fucking tight. You think I'm going to let you stop this after I've had a taste?"
And then he fisted my hair, pulling my head back.
"Huh?"
He bit my cheek, taunting me.
"No one can hear you scream, Rika. We're both going to fuck you, and you're going to love every second of it. No one's coming to help you."
My heart jumped, and I gasped, feeling my clit throb harder with the fear. Yes. God damn him. The fear. The fucking fright got me hot, and he knew exactly what to say to get my body needy again. Slowly, so slowly, he sunk deeper and deeper inside me, and I was so turned on as Kai dived into my neck, sucking and kissing my skin. He pulled out and thrust into me, and I moved with the motion, backing up into Michael's cock. I felt the groan in his chest as he came down on my mouth. They went slow, finding a rhythm and moving in and out of me at the same time, and I circled an arm around Michael's neck again, pulling Kai closer with my other hand. I was stretched and filled, and my entire body tingled with the friction of skin and sweat, and my hair sticking to my neck and back. "Harder," I groaned, sucking in air through my teeth as I arched my back for Michael and dug my nails into the back of Kai's neck. They moved faster, and it fucking stung where Michael was entering me, but it felt so good, too, like my orgasm was coming from 10 different places, all leading to one spot where they'd come together and explode.
"Jesus,"
Michael gasped, his hands squeezing my hips as I backed up into his thrusts, taking everything he was giving me.
"God, Rika,"
Kai growled, one hand under my thigh, at his waist, and the other on my breast. He dipped his head again, taking it in his mouth, and I pushed up against him, begging for it. Tipping my head back, I hovered my lips against Michael's. "Are you going to blame me for this in the morning?"
"And if I do?"
I breathed hard, Kai's and Michael's thrusts growing more powerful. "Then I'll leave," I told him, "and I won't come back until you chase me down." His lips quirked in a smile, and he wrapped his arm around my neck, whispering in my ear,
"I wanted this as much as you. I wanted to see how much this would hurt me."
"Does it hurt at all?" He stopped breathing, looking pained.
"I want to kill him."
And I smiled. "Good." He dived down, capturing my mouth, and I had to force myself to stay upright because he was kissing me so hard that I could feel it down to my toes. And then he pulled away, dropping his head back and thrusting his dick inside me, caught up in the pleasure. I turned around, taking Kai's lips next, moaning into his mouth as his tongue caressed mine, and my pussy started to build with pressure deep inside. Kai held me by the back of my hair, forehead to forehead, our hot breaths mixing together.
"Rika," he panted, "Jesus, you feel so good. I can't believe I went without this for so long."
Sweat made his body shine, and I sucked his bottom lip between my teeth. "You're so deep. Make me come again, Kai." He tightened his fist in my hair.
"You don't even have to ask, baby."
He started thrusting harder, and I hooked my arm around Michael's neck again, feeling them both fill me up, going deep and hitting me so good inside. I bit my bottom lip, squeezing my eyes shut as my blood rushed and my pussy pulsed and throbbed around his cock. But it was Michael who made it spread throughout my body. His dick slammed into my ass, his skin on mine, and my entire belly and thighs burned until I'd gotten into a rhythm and was fucking them both back. "Oh, God," I moaned, "harder, harder."
"Come on, baby,"
Michael urged me on.
"What the hell's going on in here?"
I heard from behind us, and it momentarily registered that someone had walked in. But I was on another planet. I didn't care.
"Get the fuck out of here,"
Michael shouted.
"God damn."
Kai dropped his head back, fucking me harder, and I knew he was close. No one even spared the intruder a glance, but I heard the door close, so I knew he was gone. "Yes," I gasped. "Yes." The orgasm crested and then exploded, down my thighs, up my back, and all over inside. I stilled, letting it ride out as they kept entering me again and again, the sensation making my eyes roll into the back of my head. Michael. Holy shit. I would never fight him again when he wanted to go in that way. That was the best orgasm I'd ever had. Michael thrust into me a few more times and then dug his fingers into my hips, stinging the skin as he came.
"Fuck,"
he choked out, gasping for breath and sinking his weight onto me as he dropped his forehead to my shoulder.
"Jesus."
But then Kai pulled me away, and I winced at the burn of Michael leaving my body. He laid me down on the tile bench, lifted up my knee, spreading my legs, and thrust his cock inside me, entering me again. I arched my back, moaning. He laid down on top of me, plastering his body to mine and wrapping an arm around the top of my head as he covered my mouth with his. He fucked hard and fast like he was possessed, and I couldn't even look up to see where Michael was because Kai had taken me over. I felt his moan in my mouth as he thrust harder and harder and then jerked, his whole body tensing and his skin burning up as he came, filling the room with a loud groan. I held his back, continuing to kiss his still lips as he tried to catch his breath.
"Holy shit," he panted. "That was better than anything I remember."
After a few moments, he slowly pushed himself up, sliding out of me, and sat back.
"Are you okay?"
He looked at me with concern. I closed my legs and turned my head, seeing Michael sitting in a tiled seat off to the right, leaning his elbows on his knees, watching us. I nodded. Bending up my legs, I gazed up at the smoky ceiling, feeling warm, blissfully exhausted, and satisfied. Kai got up and disposed of the condom in the trash right outside the door and grabbed his towel off the floor, wrapping it around him as he came to sit next to me. We all just sat there for a few minutes, letting our hearts calm down. My body was floating like a balloon, and I felt my cheeks warm again, thinking about what had just happened. My heart pumped, and there were still butterflies in my stomach. What would people think if they saw us now? Alex would be proud. She'd want in. Trevor would call me a whore. My mother would have a drink, and Mrs. Christ would blow it off like she'd just walked into a pillow fight. But a calm washed over me when I realized that the only opinion I cared about was the one that never made me feel shame, the one that always pushed me to take what I wanted, and the one that only ever asked that I never quit on him, never tap out. With anyone else, at any other time, I might be scared that our relationship was in danger, or that he would feel threatened by Kai. But Michael knew where my heart was. He didn't doubt me. He doubted himself. Kai finally stood up, turning around to stand over me. His eyes were heated, and a smile danced across his face. He looked young again.
"Aren't you worried?" he said, glancing to Michael. "I could try to take her from you." "You could try," Michael shot back.
And Kai smiled, leaning down and kissing my lips softly.
"Your dick's working now," Michael warned behind him. "Go find someone else."
I heard Kai snort and his mouth shake on mine as he laughed. Pulling his lips away, he looked down at me with calm and a new confidence.
"I have no words," he said. "Just thank you."
He turned and walked through the frosted door and into the locker room. Michael and I sat in silence for a few moments, and I heard voices outside, suddenly remembering that we'd been caught before. Someone might have gone to get security. Sitting up, I swung my legs over the bench and stood, my legs shaking and my body aching from what we'd just done. I could feel Michael's eyes on me as I walked to my clothes on the floor. "You know," I started, slipping on my pants, "I don't remember a time when I didn't love you." I didn't look at him but kept going, slipping on my jacket and grabbing my shoes and socks, sitting down on the bench to put them on. "When you look at me," I continued, "when you touch me, when you're inside me, I'm completely in love with my life, Michael. I never want to be anywhere else." I finished pulling on my socks and shoes, bending down to tie them. When I was done, I sat up straight and looked at him. "Will you ever feel that for me?" I asked. "Will you ever need me or fear losing me?" Kai had made me feel good. He'd needed me, been grateful for me. Michael held my eyes, nothing but a dead calm in his depths, and I couldn't tell what was happening inside of him. "Will you ever let yourself be vulnerable?" I pressed. And when he just sat there, not answering, I finally got up and walked toward the door. "I'll meet you outside." Chapter 26. Erica. Present. "We should study tonight," Alex said as we walked down the sidewalk, having just left class. "I've got this great technique where I let myself eat a Skittle every time I get the right answer." I let out a weak laugh, shaking my head at her. "But they're essay questions."
"Shit," she grumbled. "That's worth at least a snack-size bag per question, then."
She turned left, and I followed her inside a small outdoor cafe area, watching her plop her bag down on the ground next to a table full of women. "Hey, Alex," a redhead chirped, looking up as the other girls finished laughing about whatever it was they'd been talking about.
"Hey, everyone," Alex greeted, pulling out a chair. "This is Rika."
And then she turned to me. "Rika, this is Angel, Bex, and Danielle. We lived in the dorms together last year." She leaned in further, mumbling under her breath as we both sat down. They think I have a rich, married lover who supports me, so hush and just feel special that I trust you with shit, okay? She shot me a warning glare and I snorted, sitting down in the seat. Hey, everyone, I said, looking around at them. They smiled, and the conversation picked up again, moving from boyfriends to midterms, and I sat quietly, trying to relax and take in the late afternoon energy around me. The taxi whistles, the car horns, the conversation going on at the tables around me. But slowly, all the noises began to fade. The girl's conversation became a distant echo, and heat spread up my neck, just like it did every time I sat still today. And I could feel them all over again, their bodies, the steam room, the sweat. And I closed my eyes, feeling the little aches I had from what we'd done. My limbs were sore, and I could still taste them in my mouth. I couldn't believe that it happened. Michael. Last night I swallowed shame and pushed boundaries, and I didn't know if it was to test the trust, his love, or just to see the emotions that the experience would unfold between us. But I came out of it knowing one thing, that nothing could stop us. If he loved me, we would be invincible. Nothing had happened between Kai and me, not really. It was between Michael and me, and Kai had helped. He'd helped me see that Michael wasn't ready. Not yet. He needed the back and forth, the games, too much to give in to me. My phone buzzed in my pocket and I fished it out, seeing Michael's name on the screen. I ignored the call, sliding my phone into my bag. That was 6 times today already, as well as 6 voicemails and a few texts. I knew what he wanted, but if he wasn't giving me his heart, then I wouldn't listen to him give me orders. Is that Michael? Alex piped up, sliding me one of the waters the server had set down. I nodded slightly and leaned back, resting my forearms on the wrought iron chair. Is everything okay? I shook my head, hooding my eyes. I had no idea how to talk about him.
No, everything's not okay,
a deep male voice said behind me, and I stilled. The other girls at the table stopped talking and looked up, and Alex twisted her head around to see who it was. I closed my eyes in frustration and then looked over my shoulder, seeing Kai and Will standing behind me, a black Jag parked at the curb.
Michael's been trying to get a hold of you, Kai informed me, coming to stand between my chair and Alex's. When he couldn't reach you, he sent us to look for you.
And I would have answered the phone if I wanted to talk, I retorted.
He thinks it would be best if you went home to wait for him,
Kai suggested, but I knew it was an order.
He's concerned it's not safe.
Noted, I replied. Thank you. And I picked up my glass of water, dismissing him. He grabbed it out of my hand, and I hissed as the icy cold liquid spilled on my fingers. He flung the contents on the little potted tree behind him and tossed the glass back onto the table with a clatter. He leaned down, eyeing the girls at the table who watched wide-eyed and still.
"Excuse us, ladies," he bit out, and then growled in my ear, his scent bringing memories of last night flooding back. "He's worried about Eureka."
"Then he needs to say that," I snapped back. "Not send his dogs to fetch me." He shot up, and I yelped as he yanked my chair back and grabbed me by the upper arm, pulling me up. Pushing me toward Will, he picked up my bag and threw it at me. I caught it, but I threw my hands out again, flinging it right back in his face.
"Get in the car," he ordered, holding my bag in one hand, "or you're going over my shoulder." "Rika, you okay?"
Alex stood up, but Kai turned around, his body towering over her.
"Sit down, and don't interfere."
She dropped into her seat, and for the first time since I'd known her, she looked scared.
"Let's go."
Will pulled my arm, but I yanked it away, storming for the car. Kai followed, and we all got in, slamming doors as Will pulled away from the curb. I ground my teeth together, Kai's tall frame next to me in the back seat filling the small space, and his glare scorching the left side of my face. He reached over and grabbed me, and I pushed at his chest as he hauled me over onto his lap. What the hell was he doing?
Did he think last night meant he could handle me any time he wanted now?
While you're busy pouting, he said, his breath falling across my face as he held the back of my head in one hand and squeezed my jaw in the other, let me paint a picture in your head that apparently isn't clear enough.
I jerked, trying to hit him and twist my head out of his hold, but his grip was too tight.
Think about the last time you let Trevor inside of you. He spoke in a hard voice, biting out every word. Think about how he smelled, how his sweat and lips felt all over your body, how hard he rode your pretty little ass, and how much he fucking loved it.
I growled and fought, trying to pull away.
You want to know what was going on in his head? Kai taunted. Hmm?
I breathed hard, anger like lava all over my skin.
Stupid fucking bitch, he answered, speaking as Trevor. She's so goddamn clueless, the brainless twit doesn't even know it was me that night in the mask. On top of her, touching her, and here I am, still getting the goodies. What a brainless twat.
He released me, and I shot over to the other side of the car again, breathing hard with fire raging through my blood. Fucking Trevor. The last time we slept together, he must have really enjoyed the sight of me bent over for his pleasure, powering me over and taking me for an idiot. I ran a frustrated hand over the top of my hair, feeling my back cool with sweat.
I hope you're good and mad now, Kai continued, because that's exactly how mad Michael is. Trevor fooled us all, and you should know by now that the only dangers we can fight are the ones we can see coming. And right now we're blind.
His voice filled the entire car, and I refused to look at him.
Trevor is unpredictable and unreadable, and Damon has one emotion. Hate.
I stared out the window as we pulled onto Delcor Street. He was right. There was possible danger, and I was being childish. But they were treating me like a child, too.
Is it so difficult to understand that Michael wants his girl safe?
Kai asked, his tone gentler. Maybe, I admitted, turning my head to look at him. But maybe you guys could talk to me like a person instead of manhandling me? Is that possible? Kai's eyes softened and his gaze lingered on me. I held my breath, a moment passing, I think, where we were both remembering last night. The car was suddenly too small. Will pulled up in front of Delcor and I hopped out, grabbing my bag.
I'm going to check her apartment, I heard Kai tell Will. You go park.
I slammed the door, giving the doorman a quick smile as he opened the building's door for me. Kai followed behind as I walked to the elevator and pressed the button. You don't have to come up, I insisted. I'm quite capable of locking myself in. He exhaled a quiet laugh.
It won't be too long. Michael will come by later to keep you company, I'm sure.
I stepped into the elevator as soon as the doors opened, pressing 21. I knew Michael was at practice, which is why he'd sent the guys after me, but I wasn't sure I'd let him in the door later. What was worse than him coddling me was sending his friends to do it as well. Once in my apartment, Kai walked ahead, searching all the rooms and checking the rear exit and balcony doors.
Everything looks fine, he said, strolling back across the living room and checking the locks on the front door.
Of course it does, I replied. Trevor's in Annapolis, and Damon is probably drunk and buried under an endless supply of teenage hookers in New York City. He grinned, holding the door open and standing on the threshold. But then his eyes came to rest on me, looking thoughtful, before slowly falling down my body. His gaze lingered long and intense, and I froze, feeling the heat on my thighs and down my legs. He looked back up at me.
I could stay with you if you want, he offered, his voice deep and husky.
I tilted my lips in a half-smile, approaching him. And what would we do? A sexy smirk adorned his beautiful face.
Maybe order food,
he hinted, and then cast a longing glance down my body again.
Or have something to drink?
I came up and held the door. Or maybe you're testing me,
seeing if I'll invite you in behind Michael's back.
Why would I test you?
Because you love Michael more than me, I shot back. He dropped his eyes, smiling.
Maybe, he answered, reaching out and brushing his thumb across my chin. Or maybe I liked it. Maybe I'd like to see what it's like having you to myself this time.
I cocked an eyebrow, giving him a knowing look. He dropped his hand and broke out in a quiet laugh.
Sorry, I had to make sure.
I stared at him patiently, knowing exactly what he was doing. Kai had nothing to worry about. I loved Michael, and I would leave him before I ever betrayed him. I knew Kai was testing my loyalty to protect his friend, but it would never be necessary. While I didn't regret last night, it wouldn't happen again. We were friends. Kai backed out of the doorway, leaving, but before I could shut it, he turned.
It's not just Michael, you know?
He peered over at me.
Will and I were worried about you two. You're one of us. It would be hard to...
And then he dropped his eyes, as if searching for the right words.
We feel close to you, he admitted, gazing up at me again. We don't want to see you hurt, okay?
It warmed me to hear him say that, but I couldn't help but retort, if I'm one of you, then why is it I'm the one being cut out of the plans and guarded?
Because he loves you more than us, Kai answered, flipping damn near close to my own words back at me.
I wanted to believe that. I'd waited for longer than he knew to hear it. Closing the door, I locked it and soaked in the peace and quiet. My phone was buzzing again, and I checked it, seeing that it was Alex, probably calling to check up on me. But unless it was my mother, I wasn't interested in talking to anyone. I stood at the island, thinking about the assignments I had to get started on, the reading that was due in a few days, and the fact that I hadn't checked my social media in over a week. But all of a sudden, I was exhausted. Kicking off my shoes and socks, I walked into my bedroom, dropped my phone on the nightstand, and collapsed on my bed, my body immediately melting into the soft, cool comforter, and my eyes falling closed. Michael? I popped my head up off the pillow and twisted it around, blinking my eyes open. I thought I heard something. The room was dark and silent, and I peered out the door, into the hallway, seeing it completely dark as well. I noticed the light blinking on my phone, and I turned over, my back crashing to the bed again, knowing that's what must have woken me up. Shit. I rubbed my hands up and down my face, trying to wake up. Turning my head, I glanced at the clock, letting out a frustrated sigh. 6 hours. It was just after 11. I couldn't believe I'd slept that long. Picking up my phone, I saw several texts from Michael, the last one saying, "You better open the fucking door when I get there." I hadn't read his texts all day, but I guessed there was a progression of anger that was probably justified, since I'd failed to answer any of them. Tossing my phone on the bed, I sat up and climbed off, padding my bare feet out into the hallway and toward the kitchen to make something to eat. I'd skipped dinner and I was starving. But then I noticed something out of the corner of my eye, and I swung around, my heart leaping into my throat as I saw the back door sitting wide open and the light from the stairwell pouring in. A dark form, dressed in a black hoodie with the hood drawn, stood in the doorway, staring at me through a white mask. The same mask that the guys wore when they lured me to the Christ house. I breathed hard, my hands shaking at the rush of danger crawling on my skin. But then I stopped and glued my teeth together, anger tensing my muscles. Michael.
What? I demanded. You need your midnight snack?
Him and his goddamn games. This wasn't the time, and I wasn't in the mood for kink tonight. Just get out of here, Michael. But then he raised his hand, digging the point of a massive butcher knife into the wall of my hallway. My heart picked up pace again as I stared wide-eyed, watching him stalk toward me, the steel blade scraping as it dragged along the wall. I expelled every inch of breath I had and backed away. Damon, I choked out. and at that moment, he dropped his hand and broke out in a run, charging me. I screamed and spun around, racing for the front door. I slammed into the wood, immediately grabbing for the locks, but it was no use. He crashed into my back, wrapping a hand around the front of my neck and digging the tip of the blade under my chin. The sting made me cry out, "Damon!" I dug my nails into the door. "Don't do this!" He squeezed my throat, and then the hand with the knife came down over my mouth, a cloth covering my lips, suffocating me.
"Who's going to stop me?"
he whispered in my ear. And then everything went black. Chapter 27 Erica Present Floating. My head was swaying, and for a moment it felt like it was lifting off my body and drifting up into the air. A seed of pain sat in the side of my head, but quickly bloomed, spreading and searing across my skull as I grunted. "What the hell?" I blinked my eyes open, putting my hand to the sore spot above my temple and hissing, "Shit." I checked my hand, not seeing any blood, but the spot was definitely tender. "Damon," I stilled, remembering that he'd been in my apartment. "Oh my God," I breathed out, fumbling as I sat up and the room came into focus. Where was I? Planting my hands on the soft fabric under me, I quickly looked around, noticing the beige and wood furniture and fixtures, the glass doors leading to a wooden deck, the paintings and gold sconces on the walls, the carpets, and the impersonal but very familiar feel of the room. And then I felt the hum underneath me, the hum of engines below. Python, we were on the Christ boat. I'd only been on it a handful of times growing up, parties and day excursions down the coast, but I knew it well.
"I'm glad you're okay,"
I heard behind me, and I jerked my head around. Damon stood on the other side of the couch from where I was lying, leaning a shoulder on the wall with his arms crossed over his chest and his black eyes fixed on me.
"I was starting to worry," he said
in an eerily calm tone. He was dressed in black pants and a white button-down that was loosely tucked in and open at the collar. His black hair looked tousled, like he'd just woken up, but his eyes proved the contrary. They were fully zoned in on me, alert and ready. He didn't look at all like he'd just been stabbed and bloody a week ago.
"I never really thought about it before, but watching you sleep, here and in your apartment..."
He dropped his eyes for a moment, looking serious.
"You're very beautiful. Long blonde hair, full lips. You have this innocent calm about you."
I stared, my heart racing, feeling sick. He'd watched me sleep in my apartment? God, how long had he been there before I'd woken up? I shifted my eyes, stealing glances around the room again. I needed to get something in my hands. I wished I had the Damascus blade.
"Yeah, so clean and perfect,"
he mused, pushing off the wall and walking around the couch.
"Just like he wants you."
I narrowed my eyes, slowly standing up and backing away as he approached. "Who?" I asked, my voice shaking. "Who wanted me clean and perfect?" My head throbbed and I felt dizzy, but I held out my hands, trying to keep him away.
"Only you're not so clean anymore, are you?"
he gloated, ignoring my question.
"Michael got his hands on you, and you're only good for one thing now."
"What are you talking about?" I stumbled backward, my fists curling as fear coiled in my gut.
"Don't worry. He'll get some fun out of you."
Damon inched toward me, a sick smile in his eyes.
"But he'd never marry his brother's whore."
"Marry? What?" And then Damon's eyes flashed behind me, and I swung around, seeing Trevor standing right behind me. He stood tall and imposing, dressed in jeans and a navy blue polo. His blonde hair was still cut close to the scalp, military style, and his blue eyes pierced me, looking smug. I shook my head. "Trevor?" And I only had a second before his hand came down and whipped across my face. I stepped back, trying not to fall as my head jerked to the side and fire blazed across my cheek like a million needle pricks under my skin. Tears sprang to my eyes, and I held my face as the pain in my head exploded, and everything became blurry. Damon grabbed me and spun me around, throwing me over his shoulder. "No," I cried, pushing at his back and squirming. I coughed, feeling the bile in my stomach rise up into my throat as he carried me off down a dark passageway. "Damon," I choked, feeling the heaves rumbling through my stomach. "Damon, please." He carried me through a doorway, and I grabbed hold of the frame, stopping him as I kicked and struggled. "Let me go, you sick piece of shit," I screamed, because I was sick of being afraid. "You're nothing. You hear me? You're nothing but garbage, and I hope you die." He yanked hard, and I lost my grip, my arms shooting with pain from being nearly pulled out of their sockets. I flew through the air, my breath catching in my throat as I landed on a bed. I immediately shot up to a sitting position, but he came down right on me again. Grabbing my wrists, he pulled me up the bed and planted his knee in my chest, holding me in place. "Damon," I barked, but my lungs emptied with his weight on my chest, and I couldn't take in anything but short breaths.
"Don't talk," he growled.
I thrashed and pushed my body up off the bed, choking and coughing as I tried to suck in air and get him off me. "Fuck you," I tried to yell, but it came out strained. He pulled something brownish out of his pocket and wrapped the itchy fabric around my wrists. "No!" I tried to yank my hands away, to swing at him or throw him off or anything, but he just held me tighter. I tried sucking in a breath, despite the weight on my chest, but it was ragged. He tied me up, securing my hands to the headboard. Looking around quickly, I noticed an entire wall of windows behind Damon, showing a vast blackness outside and stars in the night sky. There was nothing on the bedside tables I could use as a weapon, but if I could get free, there was no doubt something in one of the drawers or in the bathroom. "Where are we?" I demanded, my skin burning under the knots he tied.
2 miles off the coast of Thunder Bay."
I slowed, staring up at him. "We were out at sea? Why?" "I thought maybe we were docked in the marina, where the yacht was usually kept, but there could only be one reason to take it out. There wouldn't be any help out here." "Michael?" I said quietly, not sure what I was asking.
"He'll be here soon," Damon said, sounding like he was saying, "It'll all be over soon."
A shiver ran up my spine, and I sucked in a welcome breath as he took his knee off my chest. But the freedom from his weight didn't last. He came down on me again, forcing my thighs apart as he nestled his waist between my jean-clad legs. Every muscle in my body tensed as he propped himself up with both arms, staring down at me.
"Now that I have you to myself," he taunted, his gaze turning heated.
I jerked, pulling at the restraints and letting out a growl. Tears spilled down the sides of my head into my hair, and I heaved breath after breath, trying to yank my arms free.
"Such a fighter," he commended. "I knew you were going to be a lot of fun."
I pressed my bare feet into the mattress, squirming and trying to arch my body off the bed, but he only laughed, pressing his hardening cock between my legs. I cringed, turning my head away and trying to sink into the pillow to get away from him.
"Keep doing that," he begged. "It feels so good, Rika."
And then he lowered his mouth to my cheek.
"Come on,"
he breathed out, his tongue flicking my jaw.
"You know it's going to happen. I think you're afraid you'll like it."
I shook my head and turned to meet his eyes, glaring at him. "You won't do this. I know you."
"You don't."
His voice turned threatening. But I pressed forward. "You're mean and you're sleazy, but you're not evil," I gritted out. "I thought you and Kai, or Trevor, were going to hurt me that night, even for just a while. I didn't know if it was a joke or if you were for real, but I didn't feel safe. I was scared out of my mind." He watched me, hovering his mouth over mine. But you didn't let him, I shot out. You didn't let him hurt me. It was a joke for you. But once you realized Trevor was carrying it further than you'd planned, you stopped him. You're not bad. His tongue flicked my chin, and I squeezed my eyes shut, my chest shaking with sobs as he trailed it down my neck into my breast, over my blouse. You're not bad, I said, pulling against the restraints and feeling his tongue circle my nipple through the fabric. You're not bad.
No, I'm not,
he said, hovering over my breast.
I'm nothing. I'm a piece of shit. I'm garbage.
And then he pushed up, climbing off the bed and looking down at me, his eyes now ice cold.
And I'm going to be your nightmare, Erica Fane.
He turned around and walked for one of the chairs to my left and sat down, looking disturbingly calm. There was a shield over his eyes now, and I forced the hard lump down my throat, fearing he was done talking. He sat and waited. So what? I argued. Trevor's in charge of you now? Did you learn how to be somebody's bitch in prison? He smirked, leaning back in the chair with his forearm resting on the table to his right. If you do this, I bit out, you'll lose them forever.
Who?
The guys, I clarified. They're your family, and they'll never forgive you for this. He shook his head, looking away.
It's too late, anyway. Things will never be the same now.
He stared off, a look of solemn resolution crossing his face, as if nothing was ending. It was already over, and Damon was already lost.
Do you know why we took you out there that night? Damon asked. Normally, I don't care who Michael fucks, unless I like the look of her and want my turn. But you were different. I knew it that night. He wanted more from you than just pussy.
I tensed my arms and pulled at the rope, the coarse threads digging into my skin. Why did that bother you so much?
Because when it comes to women, there is nothing more than just pussy, he snapped. You were going to come between us, change us, and ruin what we had.
The creases in his forehead dug in deeper, and he glared at me. I didn't understand what he was talking about. How would I come between them?
When I ran into Trevor, he continued, we thought we'd mess with you, scare you off. I'd get what I wanted. You away from Michael and the rest of us, and dickless little Trevor, who was always jealous of his older brother, would get you back on a leash.
He licked his lips and continued.
Will was easy. He was three sheets to the wind, and even sober, that fucker can't add 2 + 2. So once we got Kai's mask on Trevor, the rest fell into place.
But when you got to the clearing, I cut in, you realized Trevor had a plan you didn't know about. You wanted to scare me, freak me out, maybe fuck me in a moment of weakness if I let you, so I'd feel too ashamed to ever face Michael again. But you didn't want to hurt me. And I took a deep breath, finishing, and you don't want to hurt me now. He absently picked at something on the table, shaking his head.
That's where you're wrong, he said, meeting my eyes. I do want to hurt you. I want to fucking kill you. And then I'm going to kill Trevor.
Trevor? He nodded.
Oh, he'll get what's coming to him. Now that I know he stole the phone, oh yes. You'll be just because I'm fucking angry and I've got nothing to lose. I already lost everything. Because just like a woman does, you fucked everything up. You came between brothers.
I didn't come between them. I never made Michael choose, and I never wanted to ruin what they had. I wanted to be a part of it. I was curious, and I wanted to have some fun, but I never wanted to change them, or stop them, or... And then I paused, dropping my eyes as I remembered the gazebo, the way I'd protested when I didn't agree with what Will was doing, the way I'd walked off when Michael told me to stay, the way I'd looked down on what they were doing. Maybe Damon was right. I didn't regret backing out of that prank. It was shitty and stupid and wrong. But while Michael may have stayed by his friend's side that night, maybe there would have come a time when he didn't. Maybe, eventually, after more pranks and more nights of careless decisions they'd make that I'd want no part of, maybe there would eventually be a night when Michael would choose me over them. I'd done nothing wrong, of course. This wasn't my fault, and I knew that. But now, seeing it through Damon's eyes, him knowing I'd eventually get into Michael's head and knowing that none of this would have happened if I hadn't gone with them that night. Maybe I needed to acknowledge that I was, at least, part of this. Like Will had said, I was already involved. "We were all hurt by what happened," I said, locking eyes on him. "I'm not the one to punish." He remained still and quiet for a moment.
"Maybe," he finally answered. "Maybe you're just a victim like the rest of us."
Something crossed his face, a weariness bubbling under the anger and hate he tried so hard to keep on like a mask. There was something playing behind his eyes, a scene or a memory, but I couldn't figure it out.
"It doesn't really matter anymore," he said in a quiet voice.
But before I got a chance to ask him what he meant, a shadow fell across the floor, and I twisted my head right to see Trevor standing in the doorway.
"Are you two bonding?"
His voice sounded so smooth and light, as if he hadn't just hit me. I narrowed my eyes, noticing that he looked thinner. Annapolis. Wait, he wasn't supposed to be here. He couldn't just leave the academy whenever he wanted. Had Damon gone to him after the blow-up at Michael's parents' house? He had to have. Trevor had loose ends to clear up, and he had to fear Michael would come after him. He was beating him to the punch. Damon rose from his chair and left the room, and I tensed, realizing he was leaving me with Trevor. For some reason, I felt in more danger.
"He'd never help you," Trevor stated, stepping into the room. "He hates women."
He approached, and I wrapped the slack of the rope around my fist and inched up the bed, away from him. My hand hit the mirror of the headboard, and I stopped, tapping it with my nail. Glass.
"Did you know that he was 12 when his mother started fucking him?"
My heart skipped a beat, and I turned my eyes on Trevor, horror racking through me. What?
"And when he was 15, Trevor continued, "he beat the shit out of her and threatened to kill her if she ever came back. I overheard my father talking to his a few years ago."
My bottom lip quivered, and I didn't know if he was telling the truth, but why would he lie? It would explain why Damon hated women, I guess.
"His father swept it under the rug and never talked about it again. The guys were all he had, and you took that from him."
"You took that from him," I growled, tightening every muscle as he sat down on the bed. Trevor's hand trailed up my leg, and I kicked, shoving him off, but he only smiled and gripped my thigh harder, making me cry out. I can't believe I ever let him touch me. Last year, I'd given in to the years of pressure being pushed together for dances, parties, and pictures, and I stopped fighting the constant assumptions that we were together and finally just let it happen. Trevor gave me stability. He wanted me, and I was too stupid to believe I deserved better. But most of all, he was a distraction from Michael. I thought he would make me move on and forget. It didn't take long for me to realize that Trevor gave me nothing. In one night, Michael had showed me that I wasn't weak, that I was beautiful, wanted, and strong, and even though that night was short-lived, I knew what I felt for Trevor didn't even compare to everything that Michael was for me. Trevor only claimed me as a prize. He didn't see me. "How can you do this?" I demanded. "What do you want?"
"I want to see you both lose," he retorted. "I'm done being in Michael's shadow, and I'm done watching you pant after him."
He raised his eyes, looking at me.
"I want to see you both hurt."
I ground my teeth together, jerking at the rope again and again. "Let me go." His hand slipped under my shirt, and I tried to twist away, his touch making my skin crawl.
"As for Damon, he just wants everyone to hurt," he pointed out. "He and I make a great pair."
"Why would he cover for you?" I demanded. "He knew it was you in that mask that night. Why would he let me think it was Kai?"
Trevor shrugged, watching his hand slide over my stomach.
You'd already been kicked to the trash by Michael. It served our purpose if you didn't think you had a friend out of them left. Plus, he said with a smile, he doesn't give a shit about you. After he and the rest of them thought you outed them, I think he got off on the idea that the only real threat to you was right under your nose.
Meaning Trevor. Always there. Just one room away. Lurking. Waiting. But you knew they thought I took the phone and uploaded the videos. You had to know they'd come after me.
Which wouldn't have been a problem if you hadn't decided to leave Brown, he shot back. I could have kept Damon at bay, and he could have kept the rest of them waiting.
He sighed and then continued, but you left my protection, and maybe I just decided to let it play out.
If they hurt you, if Michael hurt you, before they realized their mistake in blaming the wrong person, then maybe you'd give up on him once and for all.
And then he got on his hands and knees and crawled over me, covering his face over mine.
Maybe you'd finally knock him off that pedestal you always put him on and see him for what he really is.
Which is what? I bit out.
Lesser than me.
And then he popped his head up, as if hearing something. He shot off the bed and walked around the room, gazing out the windows.
The only mistake I made, he commented, peering out into the night, was quoting my father that night in the forest. Otherwise, you may never have figured it out.
My body shook with fear, and I tilted my head back, squirming as I pulled against the ropes again. So what's your plan now? I demanded. What could you hope to accomplish by this? Michael has everything that belongs to me, the house, the deeds, everything, and you'll never get me back. I'd rather die than let you near me again.
You think I want you back?
He turned, folding his arms over his chest.
My brother's whore.
He chuckled to himself and walked over to me.
Oh, no, he replied, looking smug. I can do so much better than you. And as for Michael having everything, that's easy. The dead don't own property.
The dead? Did he mean... If Michael were dead, everything would revert back to Mr. Crist. And if Trevor no longer wanted me to get what was mine, then for him to get everything, I would also have to be... Michael? I jerked at the ropes, trying to pull my wrists free. Fuck you! I cried out, feeling the burn of my tears fall across the spot on my cheek where he'd hit me. My wrists stung from the layer of skin I'd probably worn away, but I growled, thrashing and pulling at them harder and harder.
Listen, Trevor chirped. Do you hear that?
I didn't stop, but I heard it. It was a high-pitched motor, and it was getting louder. Nearer. A speedboat. I stilled. No.
He's coming,
Trevor said, excitement in his eyes. And then he held up his wrist, checking his watch.
It's 11:08, baby,
he announced, and then leaned down, close to my face.
By 11:30, you both will be on your way to the bottom of the ocean.
Chapter 28. Michael. Present. Faster! I shouted, the speedboat bouncing over the water as I spotted the yacht ahead. The lights in the hull glowed purple on the black water, making the large white vessel look like a star out in the night. It's at top speed! Will threw back, his face twisted in worry. Relax! He left that note for a reason. He wants us to find her. That doesn't mean he's not hurting her, I gritted out. Hurry! Gusts of wind hit us as we raced over the water. Kai and I had to hold the dash and windshield to keep steady as the small black speedboat gained on Python. Fucking Trevor. When I'd gotten to Rika's apartment, she hadn't answered the door, so I used my key and barged in, finding the whole damn place dark and empty with nothing but a note laying on the floor. One word. Python. I flew out of the apartment and called the harbor master as I sped out of the city. He confirmed that Python was in Thunder Bay today, and Trevor had indeed had a small crew take it out this afternoon, I then called Will and Kai, telling them to meet me at the docks, where Kai's family kept a speedboat. My family's speedboat was probably with Trevor. And Damon, who was no doubt in on this too. "I love you, Michael." My chest shook, and I ran my hand through my hair. "Rika," I murmured to myself. "Please be all right." The yacht got bigger as we got closer, and Will slowed the engine, circling the craft all the way around to the stern, where we slowed to a crawl. I immediately jumped out, while Kai secured a line. I spotted my family's red speedboat on the port side and turned to Will. "You stay here," I told him. "Keep an eye on the speedboats and blare the foghorn if you see anything." I didn't want Trevor or Damon trying to take off with her. He nodded, reaching into the compartment near the steering wheel and pulling out the horn. I looked at Kai, gesturing up. "Top deck," I ordered, "and keep your eyes open. They know we're coming." Kai took the stairs to my right while I walked across the deck, past the pool, and into the salon. I didn't blink, forcing myself to go slowly, even though every muscle in my body wanted to charge ahead, looking for her. A Glock was tucked into my black pants, loaded with all 10 rounds, but I kept it hidden under my t-shirt. Chances were they'd see me before I saw them, and I wanted the element of surprise. I darted my glare to the white camera in the ceiling, the small ball rolling and zooming in. He knew I was here, and exactly where I was. Treading lightly and keeping my eyes open, I crept across the room and into the dimly lit passageway. There were two cabins on the left and one on the right. She could be anywhere, and I hoped Kai, who was one deck above, had found her already. I took a step to the left, grabbing the door handle, but a whimper stopped me in my tracks, and I listened. A grunt followed, and I turned toward my parents' cabin and threw open the door. Rika laid on my parents' bed, struggling with the ropes that were tied to her wrists. She jerked her head toward the door, noticing me, and sucked in a breath, her face cracking.
"Michael," she cried softly. "No, you shouldn't have come."
I charged over and grabbed the rope, seeing the broken glass. "God damn it, what did they do to you?" Her hands were tied above her head, bleeding, and her hair was damp with sweat. Little pools of blood sat in the creases of her hands, and she held a shard of glass in her fist.
"I needed to cut the rope."
Her voice shook, and I noticed that the glass in the headboard was shattered. She'd broken it, trying to escape. I took the shard out of her hand and sawed the remainder of the thread. "I'll get you out of here. I'm so sorry, baby." A horn blared outside, and I shot my head up, my veins firing. "Son of a bitch." Something was wrong. I severed the rope, tossing the shard on the bed, and pulled her up, the binding still wrapped around her wrists. "Come here." I took her hands and turned them palm up. But she pulled them away.
"I'm okay," she insisted. "We have to get out of here. They wanted you to find me. They could be anywhere."
My arms ached with the need to hold her, but I held back. We couldn't waste time. Will needed us, and she was fine. I turned around but held her wrist, keeping her close behind me as I walked through the door, looking left and right to make sure it was clear.
"Damon's with Trevor," she whispered.
I figured.
"He's the one who took me from my apartment."
I shook my head, trying to keep the anger at bay. Rika's hands were shredded because she was saving herself, not waiting for me. I'd always wanted that for her, hadn't I? To fight for herself. But all I felt was rage now. They'd taken her from me, and they could have taken her forever. I may never have found her. "Come on," I urged, pulling her through the salon again,
toward the sliding glass doors and the stern. But as soon as we stepped on deck, I spotted Kai on the ground, and I straightened, bracing myself. He was breathing heavily, with blood coming out of his nose and mouth. Damon stood over him, glaring at me, and I shot my eyes to the speedboat behind him. It was empty. Where the fuck was Will? I inched out into the still air, pushing Rika behind me. Shit. Kai and Rika were hurt. Will was missing, and I had no idea how the hell I was going to get us out of this. Then I saw Trevor. He stood next to the side of the yacht, amusement in his eyes as he stared at me. He crooked a finger, urging us over. Rika tried to inch around me, but I tightened my grip on her arm, keeping her there. Leveling my gaze on my brother, I stepped over to the side and peered over. Will! I lost my breath. He was in the water, his head barely staying above the surface. I spotted a line of rope coming out of the water near him and followed it as it trailed up the side of the boat, over the edge, and onto the deck. The end was tethered to two cinder blocks at Trevor's feet, and there were also two more sets of blocks with ropes secured to them. Jesus.
He's got my hands tied behind my back, man,
Will shouted, which meant he couldn't untie the other end of the rope, most likely secured around one of his feet, or both. Will bounced in the water, trying to stay afloat with his legs, but he was struggling. I lurched for Trevor, but he pulled his hand out, holding up a pistol, and I stopped, glaring at him.
What the fuck? I yelled.
Did you know that the average depth of the Atlantic Ocean is 10,955 feet? He asked calmly, ignoring my anger. It's dark, cold, and when something goes down there, it's not coming back up. And then he glanced at Will in the water before turning his eyes back on me. You would never find him. I shot my gaze to Kai. He rested on his hands and knees, trying to stable himself, and I could see blood streaming down the side of his face.
Are you okay? I rushed out. I'm fine,
he bit out, but I could tell he was shaky. I should have done her before you got here, Trevor went on, gesturing to Rika behind me. But really, what fun is it if you can't watch, right?
What the fuck are you doing, Trevor? I asked as I slowly reached behind me and tapped my back, signaling to Rika.
She slid her hand up the inside of my shirt and pulled the gun out, slipping it into my hand behind my thigh.
I don't know, Trevor answered, fake confusion on his face. But I'm certainly enjoying myself. What the hell was the matter with him? He hated me, I knew that. But Will? Kai? Rika? He couldn't get away with this. Had he lost his fucking mind?
Go ahead, he challenged, pointing the gun at me. Rush me. You'd take a bullet, but you'd still take me down.
I shook my head and turned my eyes on Damon. Don't do this, I implored. Will and Kai have never hurt you. Rika's never hurt you.
But hurting them will hurt you, Damon retorted, planting his foot on Kai's back and shoving him back to the ground.
Kai grunted, squeezing his eyes shut. From the way he grabbed his side, I could guess he had a few broken ribs.
You've never suffered, Damon snarled. You've never had to lose, and this will change your life forever. You should never have chosen her over us.
You're a fucking coward,
Kai shouted at him. Damon just scowled at him, and then looked up at me again, an ocean separating us. I didn't even recognize him anymore.
Tell me you'll let her go, he demanded. Tell me everything can go back to the way it was in high school. I steeled my spine, squeezing Rika's arm behind me.
She has no place with us, and you give her too much power over you, he continued. Tell me she's nothing. Tell me you choose us over her.
Or better yet, he paused, a glint in his eyes. Tell me you'd trade Rika for Will and Kai. My throat tightened, and my heart hammered in my chest.
Choose, Trevor pressed. Rika can take Will's place, and the four of you can be like none of this ever happened.
I heard her breathing behind me, shallow and fast, and I knew she was scared. I could feel her everywhere, on my skin, in my chest, in my hands. The sweetness of her lips as she panted against my mouth in the steam room.
I love you, Michael.
Will and Kai will be fine, Damon assured. But you have to sacrifice her.
Sacrifice her. I can't. I swallowed the lump in my throat. She was everywhere. Always everywhere. Years and years, and there was no shaking her. Every time I closed my eyes, she was there. It feels like you. 16, and looking at me like I was God. You're in everything. The moment I knew that heart of hers was mine, and I couldn't wait to be inside of her. Yes, it turns me on. Seeing her go over that edge and trust me to jump with her, as I felt her from the inside for the first time, and she came apart in my arms. God. I dropped my eyes to Kai, seeing my friend, and I could hear Will calling us from the water, begging, and what the fuck was I supposed to do? But Trevor didn't wait for an answer. He reached down and hauled up the blocks, sitting them on the edge of the yacht.
No! I shouted, letting go of Rika and holding out my hand. Stop! Just wait!
He tilted the blocks back and forth, toying with me.
Stop, I growled. Just...
I ground my teeth together, my head swimming.
Fuck you!
If I shot one of them, he would still have time to dump the blocks, and Damon could make short work of Kai before I even had a chance. I might be able to get Rika out of here, but I wouldn't be able to save them.
Why are you doing this?
I bared my teeth, seething.
Why?
For this, Trevor finally growled, showing his anger.
For this, right here. To see you exactly like this. You're so fucking desperate, it's priceless.
He took his hands off the blocks, leaving them to sit on the ledge, teetering and threatening to fall with the slightest vibration.
I could say it was all the attention laid on you for your basketball career, he explained. The way you always finish things I could never even start. Or the way Rika always loved you, not once ever looking at me the way she did you.
He hung the gun at his side and glared past me to Rika, who had stepped up next to me.
But really?
He gazed at her.
I think it's because the great Michael Crist is so fucking helpless right now, and I want to see the look in her eyes when she knows it's about to end and that you can't help her.
I breathed in and out, my lungs getting smaller and smaller. Don't worry, Trevor soothed. You'll join her soon.
And then Trevor shot out his hand and pushed the blocks off the ledge. I growled, raging as I rushed forward, swinging out my arm and firing the gun 3 times, hitting him. But I didn't see where. I threw the gun down and leapt up to the ledge, diving off just as Will's head disappeared under the surface. I crashed through the water, my body immediately submerging and going cold with the rush of the icy black October sea. I opened my eyes, seeing Will just ahead of me, sinking fast and struggling against his ropes. I kicked and pushed my way through the water, reaching out and grabbing him by the shirt. But when I tried to pull him up, kicking and fighting my way to the surface, the purple light overhead was only disappearing. We were sinking. I dived back down, keeping hold of his clothes as my lungs stretched, growing desperate for air. Reaching his foot, I worked the knot, the fucking weight of the blocks making it hard to get the rope to thread back out. Will twisted and fought, keeping his eyes on the surface, and I yanked and jerked at the rope, trying to get him free. But the water was only getting blacker. The lights from the yacht were all but gone, and Rika and Kai were up there alone. I growled, the sound muffled in the water as I pulled and thrashed. Fuck! I couldn't let him go. Please. Not again. Squeezing the rope between my chilled fingers, I worked and pried, tearing my skin until it gave way. The rope dislodged, and I quickly unraveled it, pulling it apart and letting the blocks and rope sink away into the black depths. I kept hold of Will and pulled him to the surface as he kicked. We broke through the water, sucking in air, and I darted my gaze up, seeing Kai with his hands around Damon's neck. He pressed him against the edge of the yacht, and then pulled his fist back and punched him. Rika. Go over there! I shouted at Will, gesturing to the speedboat. What about my hands? His body was shaking from the water. I have to get Rika! And I swam for the yacht again. But then something crashed into the water on my right, and I looked up to see a rope draping down the side of the boat. What the? Two blocks came spilling over the edge then, sinking into the ocean, and I jerked my head up, seeing Trevor hunched over and heaving. But there was a twisted smile on his face. Fuck! I bellowed. I dived down, shooting my arms out in front of me and pushing the water back, struggling through the icy sea as I fought and kicked. Rika. I darted my eyes everywhere, looking for her hands, her white t-shirt, her hair. But I swam down, 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 as fast as I could, looking side to side and not wasting a second. But as the moments passed and I didn't see her, fear thundered in my chest. I was going to lose my fucking mind. Where the hell was she? Pressure built in my lungs and my eyes blurred. I heaved, needing air, and bellowing into the water, I shot back up for the surface and sucked in a hard breath as I came through. Rika! I raged, spinning in a circle to see if she came up. Rika! Nothing. I shot my head up, seeing Kai hanging over the edge, breathing hard and looking exhausted. Kai, get in here! I yelled. I can't find her! He looked up, narrowing his eyes in worry. I couldn't see Damon or Trevor, but I didn't fucking care anymore. Will was still tied up, and Rika was. I dived back down, hearing the distant sound of Kai entering the water seconds later, and we descended, pushing through the water and into the black. So far. It was so far down. She was down there already, getting farther and farther away from me, and I would never find her. Ever. Please, baby, where are you? And then my heart stopped, seeing a flash of white. Rika was rising faster and faster, her arms pushing her up and her legs kicking as she came into view, getting closer every second. Kai and I grabbed hold of her arms and pulled her up. We broke through the surface of the water, and she coughed and gasped, trying to take breaths. I held her up, touching her face. Rika! I breathed out, my heart aching like I had a knife lodged in it. Are you okay? How did... I trailed off, feeling my stomach coil at how close I'd come to losing her. She nodded and started to shake, her face cracking as she started to cry. "He hit me after you shot him," she choked out. "It knocked me out long enough for him to tie me up. By the time I came to, he was forcing me over the edge."
I pulled her along, swimming back to the yacht. We climbed up onto the deck, Kai holding her as I pulled her up.
"How did you get free?" I asked.
"The shard."
She opened her fist, shivering.
"I took it after you tossed it on the bed."
I pulled her into me, wrapping my arms around her, and squeezed her so hard my body shook.
"Where's Damon?" I asked Kai, seeing him pull Will up and untie his hands. But it was Will who answered.
"He took off in Python's speedboat while you guys were under."
I just closed my eyes and squeezed Rika in my arms. Kai and Will climbed the steps to the main level, and I pulled her along. She needed a hot shower, a warm bed, and me. We walked across the deck, and I spotted Trevor lying at the edge of the pool, bleeding and struggling to get up. He could barely lift his head. I didn't know how many shots he'd caught out of the three I'd fired, but the blood spilled over the deck, and he was breathing heavily.
"Michael,"
he said, sounding out of breath, as he held his hand against the wound on his chest.
"Take the boat into port. I'm bleeding."
Kai and Will stood near, watching him, while I held Rika in my arms, anger and hatred boiling inside of me. None of us made a move to help. He'd nearly killed her, tried to kill Will, Kai, and threatened to kill me.
"Michael," he pleaded.
"I'm your brother."
I stood there, not seeing a brother. I saw blocks go over the edge. I saw Rika dumped like she was garbage, and Will sent to the bottom like he was nothing. I could have lost them. I could have lost her. Forever. Where was my brother then? Something fell behind my eyes, and I didn't blink. I may not have been able to choose between the lives of Rika and my friends, but I had no trouble choosing between them and my brother. Raising my foot, I planted my shoe on his shoulder and shoved. He grunted and grappled for my leg, fear rounding his eyes before he rolled and fell into the pool, his arms flailing as he sunk lower and lower. He tried to struggle, tried to grab at the water like it was a wall he could climb. But only his eyes broke the surface as he drifted to the bottom, peering up at us and seeing his hope only feet away, not coming for him.
"Michael!"
Rika looked at me, breathing hard.
"You, please, you'll have to live with this forever."
But I just turned my gaze back to Trevor, keeping my feet planted where they were. I knew she didn't want me to do it. I knew she worried I'd regret it, and I'd suffer consequences. I knew, no matter what, that Trevor was my brother, and he'd been a part of both of our lives. I watched as he struggled and tried to take in breaths, his body too weak from the blood loss to save himself and swim back up. And when he stopped moving, going still in the water, I closed my eyes and let my fists slowly uncurl. "You would never have been safe," I told her. She buried her face in my chest, and I held her as her body shook with silent sobs. I turned my eyes on Kai.
"Get the boat into port, okay?"
He nodded, holding his side. "Just take care of her. We got this." I took Rika's hand and pulled her through the salon and back down the passageway again, taking her into the cabin designated for me when I was on the yacht. I ran my hand through my hair, slicking back the wet strands and feeling like my heart was about to jump out of my chest. I almost lost her. Squeezing her hand, I headed straight into the bathroom, turned on the shower, and started throwing open cabinets, not sure what I was looking for.
"Here," I went to her, rubbing my hands up and down her arms. "You're freezing. Get out of these clothes."
And then I turned around, checking the shower temperature.
"I'll run it hotter, okay?"
"Michael,"
she said gently, trying to stop me. But I pushed forward, feeling my stomach roll.
"We've got towels here for when you get out." I gestured to a cupboard. "Unless you want a bath instead, I can run one. Maybe soaking would be better."
"Michael."
I rubbed a hand down my face, trying to find my words. "I'll just try to find you some clothes. My mom probably has things here that you can wear, so..."
"Michael,"
she said louder, reaching up to take my face in her hands. But I tore myself away, leaning back on the sink and bowing my head, feeling pain everywhere. Was this what she wanted? For me to be vulnerable and feel the fear I felt tonight? Is this what she felt for me?
"I thought you were gone," I said, barely audible. "The water was so black, and I couldn't find you. I thought I'd never get to you."
She came up to me, taking my face again. And I looked up into her blue eyes, knowing that would always haunt me. What if she had never come back up? What would I have done? I slid a hand around the back of her neck and wrapped my other arm around her waist, taking her lips in mine and kissing her so deep the heat of her mouth filled my entire body. I could kiss her forever. Touching my forehead to hers, I ran my thumb across her face, caressing it.
"I love you, Rika. I've always loved you."
She broke out in a smile, tears streaming down her face as she circled her arms around my neck and pulled me in close. I squeezed her tight, burying my face in her hair, never wanting to let her go. After all the years and all the times when I should have known, it took her nearly getting killed for me to realize what she meant to me, for me to realize how ingrained in every moment of my life she was, and how she'd always been there, right in front of me. Her, riding her bike around my driveway when she was 5. Her, learning to swim in my pool. Her, running around and doing cartwheels in my backyard. Her, biting her nails when I entered the room. Her, sitting next to my mother at every basketball game in high school. Her, refusing to even look in my direction when I hung out with a girl. And me, barely able to hold back the smile at the little looks she stole and how nervous she was when I was close. She was always there, and it was always us. Trevor made me want to resent it, but it was seeing her with Kai last night that made me feel it. Nothing could shake us. She was mine, and I was hers, and it would never break. I inhaled a deep breath, finally feeling my stomach unknot. "Did they hurt you in any other way?" I asked. She pulled back, shaking her head.
"No."
"Damon's still out there."
"Damon's gone,"
she stated, so sure. She took the hem of my wet shirt and pulled it up over my head.
"How are we going to tell your parents about this?"
she said, worry written all over her face.
"About Trevor."
"I'll handle it," I told her, pulling her shirt off as well. "I don't want you to worry about anything." And I scooped her up,
wrapping her legs around me and sitting on the sink edge, just holding her close. She hovered her lips over mine, sinking her body into me like she was about to melt.
You really love me?
I closed my eyes, breathing her in.
I love you so much,
I whispered, tightening my hold on her. This is where I live.
Chapter 29. Erica. Present. Walking into the Crist home, I gave Edward a small smile as he took my coat and then helped my mother with hers. She looked so beautiful. It had been 3 weeks since she'd returned from the facility in California, and although every day was like a ticking time bomb, I grew more and more relaxed as the days passed that she wouldn't relapse. Her A-line black dress hugged her body that no longer looked so frail, and the color in her cheeks made her seem 10 years younger. She was looking more and more like the mother from my childhood every day. I wore an ivory-colored dress that fell to the tops of my knees, and my mother had politely mentioned that it might be too tight for Thanksgiving dinner. I didn't hesitate to let her know that Michael liked looking at my body, and I liked him looking, so there. She blushed, and I laughed. Rika, I heard Mrs. Crist call. I looked up to see Michael's mother strolling through the foyer, decked out and looking elegant as usual. Darling, you look wonderful. She embraced me, giving me a quick peck on the cheek. Then she turned to my mom. Christiane, she said, hugging her, please come and stay with me. Since your house won't be ready until next summer, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't be here. My mother pulled back and smiled. I would love to, but right now I'm enjoying the city so much. No one except Michael, Kai, Will, and me knew the real cause of the fire. And since the restoration on our house here had slowed down due to the falling temperatures, I'd brought my mother to Meridian City with me. I'd offered her the spare room in my apartment, but she wanted to give Michael and me our privacy, opting for a hotel instead. I'd stayed with her there for a couple of weeks to make sure she was okay, but I slowly relaxed when she started spending her time at the gym, getting her health back, and volunteering at a shelter to keep busy and meet some new people. She was eating well, sleeping even better, and surprisingly, in no hurry to return to Thunder Bay. Eventually, though, I gave her some space and took myself back to Delcor, much to Michael's relief. Not that he didn't want me around her, but he still got antsy about my safety. He said it had to do with Damon's unknown whereabouts, but I knew it was something else. Since the night at the yacht over a month ago, he'd woken up in the middle of the night a few times, sweating and breathing hard. He'd had nightmares about the water, about me being pulled down and him grabbing for my hand, just like he had that night. Only in his nightmares, he didn't find me. I was lost. Mrs. Crist, I can't believe how busy you've been, I said, looking around, amazed at the newly redecorated sitting room and all of the holiday decor splashed around the house. Garlands and wreaths hung from the walls and stairs, and I looked up, seeing Michael appear at the top of the stairs. He descended in his pressed black suit with the smallest smile curling his lips. His eyes zoned in on me, and I inhaled a deep breath, feeling my stomach flip like always. Well, Mrs. Crist said, sounding sad, I needed to stay busy. I tore my eyes away from Michael and met his mother's glossy eyes that welled with tears. Guilt washed over me. I'm so sorry. Trevor was dangerous, more so than Damon because Trevor hid it so well. But I couldn't imagine losing a child, even one like that. I hoped I never had to feel what she did. But she just shook her head at me, sniffling. Please don't say that. Who my son was wasn't your fault. And you're both safe, she said. And then, looking to Michael, I wouldn't trade that. Michael stared down at her, a look of regret crossing his face. Other than me, I was pretty sure his mother was the only woman he loved. And while his first instinct had been to protect me, his second had been to protect her. after Trevor had drowned, Will tried to talk Michael into dumping him into the ocean on the way back, so Michael wouldn't have to deal with telling his parents that he'd killed his brother. Michael wouldn't even listen. He couldn't leave his mother's son out there. At the very least, he had to bring a body back to her, and he knew he couldn't look at her day in and day out and lie to her. So, after we'd brought the yacht into port, we'd called the police and told them everything. How Trevor took me, lured Michael and his friends there, and nearly killed Will and me. It was devastating, and while Mrs. Crist was thankful we were okay, she would hurt for a long time. Mr. Crist, on the other hand, seemed more disappointed than grief-stricken. He only had one son now, and instead of the contempt with which he usually treated Michael, he began getting very involved in his life, wasting no time in shifting the hopes he had for Trevor onto Michael. Good thing for Michael, he had plenty of practice standing up to his father. My mother and Mrs. Crist walked toward the kitchen, and Michael's father approached, carrying a drink in his hand with a cigar between his fingers.
"I want to sit down today. We've got things to discuss."
He spoke to Michael, but glanced to me, his indication clear. Since I wouldn't be marrying Trevor, his plans now included Michael.
"Things to discuss," Michael mused, taking my hand. "You mean my future and Rika's money? Because it's too late, I broke the trust. Everything is in her name now."
"You did what?" his father growled.
I grinned, letting Michael lead me away. "I'd love to sit down and discuss my future next time you're in town," I told Mr. Crist, letting him know I was the one in charge of my family's business now. There were several pieces of real estate he and my father co-owned, so I had no choice but to work with him, but I wasn't a pawn for men to marry and govern. Now he knew. Michael and I walked into the dining room, seeing Will and Kai standing around the table, talking with drinks in hand, while their parents and several others congregated in small groups around the room. Servers flitted in and out, carrying trays of hors d'oeuvres and refilling champagne glasses. Kai met us halfway, closely followed by Will.
"I found Damon,"
Kai told Michael right away.
"Where is he?"
I asked.
"St. Petersburg." "Russia," Michael said, a stunned look on his face. "What the fuck?"
Kai continued.
"His parole officer came looking for him. Damon missed his check-in with him, and after tracking his passport, they found him there," he explained. "It makes sense. That's where his father's people are from, so he's on friendly ground. They're not going to go after him, of course, but we can."
I shook my head. "Just leave him alone." Michael turned his eyes on me, looking down.
"I'm not waiting for him to just show up back here, Rika. He's dangerous."
"He won't come back," I stated. "He won't want to fail a third time. Just leave him alone, and let's move on." Kai and Michael studied me for a few moments, and I hoped they understood what I wasn't saying. There had been too much pain, too many years, and too much wasted time. We all needed to start living again. Damon wouldn't try to hurt me again. Another attempt after two failures would make him look pathetic. He was gone. And since we'd found the phone from Devil's Night right where I suspected, in Trevor's cabin on board Python, and destroyed it, there was absolutely nothing holding us back anymore. It was time to start having some fun.
"So what do we do now?"
Will asked. The corner of Michael's lips lifted.
"What we're good at, I guess. Wreaking a little fucking havoc."
And then he jerked his chin, gesturing to the two female servers behind Kai and Will. The guys turned around, seeing two college-age girls, dressed in black pencil skirts, white blouses, and black vests. They tried to hide their smiles, eyeing them as they lit candles and checked the table settings.
"Delay dinner for us?"
Michael asked. Kai turned back around, his chest shaking with a quiet laugh.
"How long do you need?"
he asked, backing away with mischief in his eyes.
"An hour."
Kai and Will turned around with shitty-ass grins on their faces as they followed the girls and disappeared into the kitchen. I narrowed my eyes up at Michael, confused.
Come on.
He tugged at my hand.
I want to show you something.
And then he pulled me along, out of the dining room. I stepped out of the car, the leaves rustling under my heels as I pulled my ivory-colored coat tight around me and slammed the car door. The day was clear, not a cloud in the sky as I breathed out steam and looked up, seeing the scaffolding, tarps, and small yellow bulldozers sitting around the old cathedral. "What's going on?" I asked. "It wasn't being torn down, was it?"
"I'm having it restored," he answered,
taking my hand and leading me inside the front doors. I walked in, my gaze immediately shooting everywhere as I took in all the work the crew had already done. The broken and trashed pews in the balcony were now all torn out, and all of the garbage and piles of debris around the floor were completely gone. The sanctuary and the old altar had been removed, and there was now a proper door hung at the entrance of the catacombs. Tarps hung over exposed areas in the roof and walls, and a new cement foundation had been laid, clean and solid. To the right and left, scaffolding went all the way up to the roof, and I also noticed wood framing, as if a second floor were being added. There were no workers here, probably because it was Thanksgiving. "Restored?" I repeated, still confused. "As what? As a church? A historical site?" He opened his mouth, taking in a deep breath as if he were a little apprehensive.
"As a house," he finally answered.
"A house? I don't understand." He breathed out a laugh and approached me.
"I should have talked to you about it, but I..."
He looked around.
"I really wanted this, and I was hoping you'd want to live here."
I froze.
"With me," he added.
"Live here? With him?" I mean, yeah, I was already practically living in his penthouse in the city with him right now, but I still had my apartment, and this was a house. A whole different level. I loved the idea of turning it into a home. As strange as it might be to other people, it's where some of my favorite memories with Michael occurred. I loved it here. But would this be just his place and I'd live here? Or would it be ours? Could he send me packing any time he wanted? Or did a house mean something more? "So what does this mean exactly?" I inched out, my heart drumming faster. He kept his eyes on mine and walked up to me slowly, moving forward and pushing me back. I gasped, hitting a stone column. With amusement in his eyes, he leaned in, whispering,
"Turn around."
I hesitated, wondering what he was up to, but I never backed away from a challenge. Turning around slowly, I let him take my hands and plant them on the column in front of me. Then he snaked a hand around my waist and covered my back with his chest, nuzzling my neck with his lips. I wasn't cold anymore.
"It means that I want to keep playing," he said, his voice deep and filled with heat. "It means that until the house is done and we're ready to settle back here, my apartment is your apartment, my bed is yours, and my eyes are only on you."
He kissed my neck, his hot lips sending shivers across my body.
"It means that I'm going to do my best to piss you off every chance I get, because there's nothing hotter than when you're mad."
I could hear the grin in his voice. He dipped his hand down to the inside of my thigh.
"And then I'm going to do my best to remind you of how nice I am, so you can't stop thinking about me when we're not together."
I sucked in a breath, feeling his fingers inch up my thigh, already making me throb.
"It means that you're going to finish school, but I respectfully request that, when you come home, you do me before your homework," he continued, brushing his thumb over my clit through my panties. "And it means that you're going to have to constantly look over your shoulder for what I have up my sleeve next, because I'll always be coming for you."
And then his other fist came up, and I watched, wide-eyed, as he uncurled his fingers, and a glint of sparkle appeared in front of me. I stopped breathing as he slid the ring on my left hand and continued to whisper in my ear,
"And you're going to want every second of it, because I know what you like, Rika, and I can't live without you."
I shook, my eyes pooling with tears, as he wrapped both arms around me and held on for dear life.
"I love you,"
he breathed out in my neck. "Oh, my God." I pulled my hand down, holding it with my right as I looked at the ring. A flood of heat hit my chest, and I stopped breathing. I know this ring. It was a platinum band with an array of diamonds, looking almost like a snowflake. One stone sat in the middle, surrounded by 10 more, with yet another circle of about 20 diamonds on the outside. "This is one of the rings I took on Devil's Night," I said, my voice shaking as I looked up at him. "I thought you had returned everything."
"I did," he nodded, "but this one I bought."
"Why?" Why would he buy a ring for someone he hated? It would have been after the videos exploded online, so it didn't make any sense. He tightened his arms around me.
"I don't know. Maybe I couldn't let a piece of that night go."
And then he leaned in, whispering in my ear.
"Or maybe somewhere down deep, I always knew this day would come."
I smiled, tears streaming down my face. It was perfect. The ring, the house, even the proposal. He'd promised to piss me off, but he also promised to be good to me and always come for me. But I had to wonder, would we really be able to do this, keep up the games, the excitement, the passion? People don't live like we do, Michael. I turned my head to look at him again. They go to movies. They cuddle in front of fires.
"I'll fuck you in front of a fire,"
he retorted, spinning me around and smirking as I laughed. But then he came in and leaned his lips into my forehead, speaking quietly.
"Other people don't matter to us, Rika. We don't let their rules contain us. What we can and can't do is irrelevant. Who's going to stop us?"
I wrapped my arms around his neck, elation sweeping over me as I tilted my head back, staring up at the high ceiling.
"What?"
he asked. I inhaled a deep breath, my veins charged with excitement. "Our house," I mused. "I can't believe this is ours." And then I met his eyes. "I love you." He grabbed my face and kissed me, his warmth spreading down my body.
"I love you too," he told me. "So was that a yes, then?"
I nodded. "Yes." But then I popped my eyes wide and pulled away. "The catacombs," I blurted out. "They're not filling them in, are they?" He laughed.
"No, they'll stay accessible."
I dropped my arms and walked for the door, slipping off my coat and hanging it over the scaffolding.
"Hey, what are you doing?"
he asked. I spun around, cocking my head coyly. "You forgot to get on one knee," he snorted.
"Well, it's a little too late, Rika. I already proposed."
"You can still get on your knees." And I crooked a finger, turning back around.
"Well, the contractor said he might stop by today to do some more assessments,"
he warned. But I only grinned and shot him a challenge over my shoulder as I opened the door. "Are you tapping out?" He shook his head, his mischievous eyes telling me everything I needed to know as he walked toward me. He was always game. And thanks to his tutelage, now so was I. He'd corrupted me.
Epilogue. Michael. The smell of lilies and rain drifted into my nose, and I chased it, burying my face into the pillow. Rika. Sleep weighed heavy on my eyes, and I put out a hand, smoothing it over the sheets and searching for her next to me in bed. But she wasn't there. I blinked, forcing my eyes open. Alarm set in as I turned over and propped myself up on one elbow, quickly twisting my head around to look for her. And I immediately found her. I relaxed, a grin lifting my lips, as I watched her in the shower, the one that sat in my bedroom as a feature in my Delcor apartment. Our apartment. Within a month after everything had happened at the yacht, I moved her in. She slept here every night anyway, and since Will wanted to be close, we gave her apartment to him. Kai, on the other hand, opted for distance. He bought an old Victorian on the other side of the city, and I wasn't sure why. He could have had any apartment he wanted here, and I didn't see the value in the black brick monstrosity he'd purchased that should have been condemned. But for some reason, he wanted to be on his own. Rika ran a loofah down her arms, soaping up her body, and I turned on my side, propping my head up on my hand as I watched her. She must have sensed me, because she turned her head, smiling at me over her shoulder. She placed her foot on the edge of the tub and bent over, running the loofah down her leg slowly and playfully, knowing what she was doing to me with her fake, innocent little smiles. The rainfall shower fell over her body, but her hair wasn't wet, since she had tied it up in a loose bun. And despite my growing erection under the sheets and the smell of her body wash filling the room, I stayed put, just watching her. The reward for my patience would come soon enough. Sometimes, I just had to watch her. I had to keep my eyes on her, because it was still so hard to believe that she was real, that she was here and mine. I'd asked myself 1,000 times how we got here, how we found each other and made it here. She would say that it was Devil's Night. Without the events of that night, I wouldn't have challenged her. She wouldn't have learned how to be strong and fight back, or how to own who she was and save herself. We wouldn't have been locked palm to palm, trying to push the other one down, and we wouldn't have made each other the people we were now. Everything happens for a reason, she would say. She would say that I built her, that I created a monster, and that somewhere during the blood, tears, struggle, and pain, we realized that it was love, that all sparks lead to a flame. But what she failed to remember was, our story started long before that night. I stand outside my new G-class, leaning back against it with my arms folded over my chest. I have shit to do and places to be, and I don't have time for this. Turning over my palm, I look down at my phone and the text from my mom again. Stuck in the city and Edward is busy. Pick up Rika from soccer practice, please. 8 p.m. I roll my eyes and check the time on the phone. 8:14. Where the hell is she? Kai, Will, and Damon are already at the party, and I'm late. Because why? Oh, yeah. I guess being 16 and finally getting my fucking license means playing chauffeur to 13-year-olds whose mothers can't get off their drunken asses to pick them up. Rika walks out of the soccer complex, still dressed in her red and white uniform and leg pads, and stops, seeing me standing there. Her eyes are red as if she's been crying, and I can tell by the way she stiffens that she's uncomfortable. She's scared of me. I hold back my smile. I kind of like how she's always aware of me, even if I would never admit it out loud. Why are you picking me up? She asks softly, her hair pulled back in a ponytail with flyaways floating around her face. Believe me, I shoot out sarcastically. I've got better things to do. Get in. And I turn around to open my door and climb in the car. I start the engine, shifting it into gear as if I'm not going to wait for her, and I see her walk hurriedly around the front and open the passenger door, climbing in. She puts on her seatbelt and stares at her lap, remaining silent. She looks upset, but I don't think it has anything to do with me. Why are you crying? I demand, trying to act like I don't care if she answers me or not. Her chin shakes, and she puts her hand to her neck, touching the fresh scar from the accident that killed her father only a couple of months ago. The girls were making fun of my scar, she says quietly. And then she turns her eyes on me, looking hurt. Is it really that ugly? I look at it, feeling anger. I could get those girls to shut up. But I push down my emotions and shrug, acting like her feelings don't matter. It's big, I answer, pulling out of the parking lot. She turns back around, her shoulders slumping in sadness as she drops her head. So fucking broken. I mean, yeah, she lost her dad recently, and her mom is caught up in her own misery and selfishness. But every time I see Rika, she looks like a feather that will blow away with the slightest breeze. Get over it already. Crying's not going to help. She continues to sit quietly, so small next to me, since I'm nearly 6 feet now. And while Rika isn't short, she looks like something that has melted and is about to disappear altogether. I shake my head, checking my phone again for the time. Damn, I was late. But then I hear a horn blow, and I pop my eyes up, seeing taillights race for me. Shit! I bellow, slamming on the brakes and jerking the steering wheel to the side. Rika sucks in a breath and grabs the door as I spot a car stopped in the middle of the country road and another one swerving up ahead of me and then speeding off. I come to a screeching halt off to the side, both of our bodies pushing together against our seatbelts with the sudden stop. Jesus! I bark, seeing a woman kneeling in the street. What the hell? The taillights of the other car grow smaller and smaller in the distance, and I look over my shoulder, not seeing any other cars coming. Opening the door, I step out of the car, hearing Rika do the same behind me. I walk over to the middle of the road, and as I get closer, I see what the woman is hovering over. I can't believe that asshole just drove off, she fumes, turning around to look at me. A dog, barely alive, lies in the road, whimpering as it struggles for short, shallow breaths. There's blood spilling out of its stomach, and I can see some of its insides. It's just a little guy, some kind of spaniel, and my stomach rolls, hearing its strangled breathing. It's suffocating. The prick that sped off must have hit it. Shouldn't the kid go sit in the car? The woman asks, looking at Rika next to me. But I don't spare Rika a glance. Why did everyone try to coddle her? My mother, my father, Trevor. It only weakened her. The lady's kid sat in her car, calling for her, and I looked down at the dog, hearing it whimper and seeing it jerk as it struggled. You can go ahead and go, I tell her, gesturing to her kids in the car. I'll see if I can find an open vet. She peers up at me, looking half uncertain and half thankful. Are you sure? She asks, shooting her children a glance. I nod. Yeah, get your kids out of here. She stands up, gives the little dog a sad look, her eyes watering, and then she turns and gets in the car. Thank you, she calls. I wait for her to leave and turn to Rika. Go sit in the car. I don't want to. I narrow my eyes on her and snap. Now! Her tear-filled eyes look up at me desperately, but she eventually spins around and rushes for my car. Kneeling down, I put my hand on top of the little dog's head, feeling his soft fur between my fingers, and stroke him gently. His paws shake as he fights for breath, and the gargled sound in his throat is making my eyes blur, and my heart pump painfully. "It's okay," I say quietly, a tear spilling down my face. Helpless. I hate being helpless. Closing my eyes, I stroke his head and then slowly trail my hand down. Down the back of its head, down the back of its neck. And then I curl my fingers around its throat and squeeze as tight as I can. It jerks, its body shaking just barely as it musters the last of its energy to fight. But there's barely anything left. My body burns, every muscle tight, and I steel my jaw, trying to hold out for one more second. Just one more second. I squeeze my eyes shut, tears caught in my throat. The dog spasms, and then, finally, he goes limp, the life drained out of him. I let out a shaky breath and pull my hand away. Fuck. Acid bile fills my throat, and the pangs of nausea hit the back of my mouth. I heave, but I force deep breaths in and out, pushing it back down. I slide my hands under the dog and lift him up, ready to carry him to the car. But as soon as I turn around, I stop. Rika is standing a few feet behind me, and I know she saw everything. She looks at me like I betrayed her. I avert my eyes, hardening myself, and walk around her, putting the dog in the back of the G-Class. Who the fuck is she to judge me? I did what I had to do. I grab a towel from my duffel bag, having just gotten done with basketball practice before picking up Rika, and lay the dog on it. Taking out another towel, I wipe up the small amount of blood on my hands and then lay that on top of him as well, shutting the back hatch. Climbing back in the car, I start the engine as Rika opens up the passenger door and plops down, not saying a word to me. I speed off, gripping the steering wheel, and her silence is as loud as my father's insults and berating. I did what was right. Screw you. I don't fucking care what you think. I breathe hard, getting angrier by the second. You think that the vet who put your cat to sleep a year ago is any better? I charge, shooting her glares as I watch the road. Huh? Her lips tighten, and I can see the tears pooling again. You did it with your hands, she cries, turning to me and yelling. You killed him yourself, and I could never have done that. And that's why you'll always be weak, I throw back. You know why most people in the world are unhappy, Rika? Because they don't have the courage to do the one thing that will change their lives. That animal was in misery, and you were in misery watching it. Now he's not suffering anymore. I'm not weak, she argues, but her chin trembles anyway. And what you did didn't make me happy. It didn't make me feel any better. I smile nastily. You think I'm bad? You think less of me? Well, guess what? I don't give a fuck what you think. You're a 13-year-old piece of baggage my family has to look after, who's going to turn into nothing but an 18-year-old copy of your drunk mother. Her eyes flood, and she looks about ready to break. Only you probably won't be able to land a rich husband with that scar. I growl. She sucks in a breath, looking stunned. Her face cracks, and her body racks with sobs. She grabs the door handle and begins yanking and pulling it, trying to get out of the car. Rika! I yell. I'm going 60 fucking miles an hour. I dart my hand over, grabbing her wrists and swerving the car off to the side, screeching to a halt. She fumbles, unlocking the door, and jumps out, running away into the trees. I put the car in neutral and set the parking brake, pushing open the door and jumping out. Get back in the car! I yell, slamming the door shut. She swings around. No! I run after her.
Where the hell do you think you're going? I got shit to do. I don't have time for this. I'm going to see my dad, she calls over her shoulder. I'll walk home. Like hell you will. Get in the damn car and stop pissing me off. Leave me alone!
I stop, fuming. The cemetery is right over the hill, but it's pitch black outside. I shake my head, backing away.
Fine, I bark. Go visit your dad, then.
Spinning around, I storm from my car and climb in, leaving her out there. Turning on the engine, I hesitate for a moment. It's dark, and she's alone. Fuck it. If she wants to be a brat, then it isn't my fault. I put it into gear and speed down the road, heading straight to my house. Leaving the car running, I hop out and walk to the garden shed, digging out a shovel and going back to my car. My ears turn cold from the October chill, but the rest of my body is still on fire from the fight. She looked at me, just like my father always did, as if everything I do is wrong. I bottle up what's inside me, the anger and this need I can't explain. Something inside of me wants to self-destruct, wants to make messes, and wants to do the things others won't do. I don't want to hurt people, but the more time that passes, the more it feels like I'm trying to crawl out of my head. I want chaos, and I'm tired of being powerless. I'm tired of him keeping me down. I tried to do the hard thing today, the thing no one else would do but had to be done. And she'd looked at me just like him, like there was something wrong with me. Tossing the shovel in the car, I race down the driveway and make my way to the only place I can think of, St. Killian's. I pull up outside the old cathedral. I keep the headlights on, and I walk around to the side, starting to dig the hole. The dog hadn't had a collar, and it can't stay exposed long enough for me to find its owner, so I have to bury it. And this is the one place I like, so it makes sense to do it here. After digging the hole about 2 feet deep, I return to my car and open the back door, hearing notifications from my cell phone up on the front seat. The guys are probably wondering where the hell I am. I was supposed to go home and collect our stock of toilet paper, spray paint, and nails for some Devil's Night pranks. The same boring shit we always do before we go get drunk at the warehouse. I cradle the dog in my arms, leaving him wrapped in the blankets, and carry him to the hole, kneeling down and gently placing him in. The blood had soaked through the towel, and my hand is stained red. I wipe it off on my jeans, and then take the shovel again, filling in the hole. When I'm done, I stand there, leaning on the long wooden handle of the shovel, as I stare at the mound of fresh dirt. You're weak. Nothing. Stop pissing me off. I'd said the same things to her that my father says to me. How could I do that? She isn't weak. She's a kid. I'm angry at my father, and I'm angry that she pulls at me as much as she does, ever since we were little. And I'm angry that I grew up so pissed off about everything. There's not much that makes me feel good. But I shouldn't have hurt her. How could I have said those things? I wasn't him. I let out a breath, seeing the cold steam expel from my mouth. It's freezing out here, and the chill finally seeps into my bones, reminding me that I'd left her. Alone. In the dark. In the cold. I charge up to the car, throwing the shovel in the back and grabbing my phone, checking the time. 1 hour. I left her 1 hour ago. Climbing in, I start the car and put it in reverse, backing up and turning around. Slamming into first, I peel out of the clearing, down the old dirt road, seeing the cathedral disappear in the darkness in my rearview mirror. I speed down the highway and through the community gate, turning into Grove Park Lane and racing to the end, where St. Peter's Cemetery sits. Rika had dived into the woods, coming into the cemetery through the back, but I just drive in, knowing right where to go. Her father's headstone sits not far from my family's tomb. He could have afforded something that grandiose, too, but Schrader Fane wasn't a pretentious asshole like the men in my family. A simple marker was enough, and all he deemed appropriate, according to his will. I drive down the dark, narrow lane, nothing but trees and a sea of gray, black, and white stones to my left and right. Stopping at the top of a small hill, I park and turn off the car, already spotting what I think is a pair of legs lying on the grass a ways down. Jesus. Racing down the grass in between headstones, I see Rika lying over her father's grave, curled up and tucking her hands into her chest. I stop and gaze down at her sleeping, for a moment seeing that baby from so long ago. Kneeling down on one knee, I slide my hands underneath her body and lift her up, so small and light. She squirms in my arms.
Michael,
she says. Shh, I soothe. I've got you.
I don't want to go home,
she protests, reaching up to hook a hand over my shoulder with her eyes still closed. Neither do I. I spot a stone bench a few yards back up the hill and carry her, guilt racking through me over how cold her skin is. I shouldn't have left her. Sitting down on the bench, I keep her in my lap as she lays her head against my chest, and I hold her close, trying to warm her or do anything to make her feel better. I shouldn't have said those things to you, I admit in a raspy voice. Your scar isn't ugly. She slides her arms around my waist and presses close, shivering.
You never apologize, she states. To anybody.
I'm not apologizing, I shoot back, kind of joking. I am apologizing, actually. I feel bad, but I have a hard time ever admitting I did anything wrong. Probably because my father never fails to let me know anyway. But she's right. I never apologize. People take the shit I dole out, but not her. She ran away from me, in the dark, into a cemetery. You got a lot of guts, I tell her. I don't. I'm just a coward who picks on kids.
That's not true, she replies, and I can tell there's a smile in there somewhere.
But she doesn't see what I see. She's not in my head. I'm a coward, and I'm mean, and I feel so fucking aggravated all the time. I tighten my hold on her, trying to keep her warm. Can I tell you something, kid? I ask, a lump swelling in my throat. I'm always afraid. I do what he tells me to do. I stand and speak, or I stay silent, and I never say no to anything he wants. I never stand up for myself. I told her she was weak. But it was me. I'm weak. I hate who I am. Everything gets in my head, and I have no control. People don't see me, Rika, I confide. I only exist as a reflection of him. She tilts her head up a little, her eyes still closed.
That's not true, she mumbles sleepily. You're always the first person I notice in a room.
My eyebrows pinch together in sadness, and I turn my head away, afraid she can hear my heavy breathing.
Do you remember when your mom made you and your friends take Trevor and me hiking with you last summer? She asks. You let us do everything. You let us get close to the edge of the cliff, climb boulders. You let Trevor swear.
Her fingers curl into my back, clutching my t-shirt.
But you wouldn't let us go too far. You said we needed to save our energy for the return trip. That's how you are.
What do you mean? She inhales a deep breath and then exhales.
Well, it's like you're saving your energy for something. Holding back, she says,
nestling into me and getting comfortable.
But it doesn't make any sense. Life is one way, and there is no return trip. What are you waiting for?
My chest shakes for a moment, and I stare down at her, her words hitting me like a truck. What am I waiting for? The rules, the restraints, the expectations, and what was considered acceptable were things that held me back, but they were all things of other people's design. Other people's restraints, other people's rules and expectations. And they were all an illusion. They only exist when I let them. She's absolutely right. What is my father going to do to me? And do I care? I want that. You can't have it. Well, what happens if I take it anyway? I want to do that. You can't. Who's going to stop me? Jesus, she's right. What the fuck am I waiting for? What can he do? I want a little havoc, a little trouble, a little fun, a chance to go where my heart takes me. Who the hell's going to stop me? Every tense muscle in my body begins to slowly relax, and the knots in my stomach start to uncoil. My skin buzzes, and I feel my insides flip, forcing me to hold back a smile. And I inhale a deep, cool breath, filling my lungs with air that tastes like water in a desert. Yes. Keeping her in my arms, I stand up, holding her tight as I carry her back to the car. I don't bother taking her home. I don't want her to be alone. I carry her inside my house, the foyer dark since it's almost 10. My father is no doubt in the city for the night, and my mother is probably on her way to bed. But as I climb the stairs, I pass her in the hallway, Rika passed out in my arms.
Is she okay?
My mom rushes up to us, already dressed in a nightgown with a book in her hand. She's fine, I reply, stepping into my room. Walking over to my bed, I lie her down on top of the comforter and pull the blanket kept down at the bottom over her.
Why don't you put her in a guest room? My mother suggests.
But I shake my head. I'll sleep in one tonight. Let her have my room. She needs to feel safe. And then I look at my mother. She should have her own room here, though. She sleeps over a lot since her father's death, and given her mother's behavior, I don't see that changing anytime soon. Let her have a space that feels like a home. My mom nods.
That's a good idea.
I walk past my mother, grabbing a clean pair of jeans and a t-shirt out of my closet.
Poor thing.
My mother strokes her hair.
So fragile.
No, she isn't, I correct. Don't coddle her. I snatch my black hoodie off the chair by the door and head into the bathroom to change, since the dog's blood is all over my jeans. After I'm in fresh clothes, I dial Kai, hearing loud music and lots of voices in the background.
Do you still have those masks we used for paintball last weekend? I ask.
stuffing my wallet in my new jeans and running my fingers through my hair.
"Yeah, they're in the trunk of my car," he answers.
"Good. Get the guys and meet me at Sticks."
"What are we going to do?"
"Whatever we want," I reply. And then I hang up, walk back into my bedroom, and take one last look at Rika as she sleeps on my bed. The corners of my mouth lift, and I can't wait for tonight. She corrupted me.
This concludes Corrupt by Penelope Douglas, narrated by Tatiana Sokolov and Jeremy York. Copyright 2015 by Penelope Douglas. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Penelope Douglas, care of Distel and Goderich Literary Management, and was produced in the year 2016 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.